listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy. I'm not old or new, but middle school, fifth grade, like junior high. I don't know mofo. If y'all peeps be bugging, giving props to my hoe because she fly. But I can take heat because I'm the other white meat known as Kid Funky Fried.
Portia said that like she just in work, like, you know, like you work using your work voice. Hello, my name is Funky Fried.
I feel like if you're going to be like a white boy, you got to like be like different than like how a rap would, I think a rap should sound like.
Gotcha. All right. I guess it's my turn. I'm going to try to rap it. I'm not a good rapper. All right. And also, this is very male-centric, but I'm going to read it. Mm-hmm. I'm hung like planet Pluto, hard to see with the naked eye. But if I crash into Uranus, I stick it where the sun don't shine. Because I'm kind of like Han Solo, always stroking my own Wookiee. I'm the root of all that evil, yeah, but you can call me Cookie. Hey.
The roof. The roof is on fire. Hey, we don't need no water. Let that motherfucker burn. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic Radio, everywhere you find like podcasts. That's where we're at. Make sure you guys leave us 5-star reviews. We like those and we read them on the show if they're nice. Today is a very special Wednesday episode.
It is.
Which means there's a recap episode. Which means we'll be talking about Game of Thrones, which means we brought guests. That's right. You guys might not have recognized those voices at the beginning of the show. Maybe you didn't know who those were. I feel like you should definitely know, because at least one of them's already been on the show before. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a brand newcomer. Mm-hmm. It's Portia and Tatiana. They're from the Castle Black podcast, which is a division of the For All Nerds podcast unit over there. And they recap Game of Thrones. They have the blackest Game of Thrones recap in the game, according to DJ Ben. I mean, I would dispute this, but maybe we'll play spades one day.
And, over, I know, in person, yes.
Over a hand of spades, we'll figure it out. What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. Thank you so much for having us. We love y'all both, and we love the show. You know, we love talking Game of Thrones and dragging it every week. Love it.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Tati. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we go way back. I still remember when she was on, with Elon James White.
Me too.
You
know,
like, we nerd hard. Oh my God.
Yes. So we go way back.
Yes. And Portia, been a fan for years.
Portia is new to the show. Not necessarily new to podcasting.
No.
Portia, like, how are you doing, and what give us your backstory?
So I am not necessarily new to podcasts. I, do also occasionally jump on, Black Girls Create. They have a podcast on Harry Potter. It's like one of my major fandoms. So if you are into Harry Potter and you're a black person and you're like, I want to hear a different perspective, you're going to hear some really crazy, but really fun perspectives on their podcast. And I jump in from time to time with my crazy and very elaborate theories.
Okay. Well, look, I appreciate y'all both coming on. So far we are 5 for 5 for getting guests that we wanted on the show to talk about it.
Nice.
So, you know, I was getting a little nervous here. I was like, we're getting close to the end. I knew that, you know, the Game of Thrones every season gets more and more divisive as it goes on. So I was like, oh, it's going to be hard to do these last ones, but I'm just glad we got some people on. And of course, go check them out, For All Nerds, Castle Black Pod. I'm going to hear some more black people discussing Game of Thrones. I listened to y'all's episode from this week, yesterday. Mm-hmm. I know Tatiana wasn't there, but it was still a good episode. I listened to the one before as well. So, you know, y'all do y'all thing.
Thank you. Yeah, shout out to Chachi, who came on from the grapevine. She did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
AKA River Run Me My Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great.
So dope.
All right. So look, all the introductions have been done. It's time to get into this recap, of course, for Game of Thrones. This episode was episode 5 of season 8, the penultimate episode. There is no more episodes after this Sunday coming up. It was called The Bells. It had the highest ratings of all time for them and the lowest review scores of all time for Game of Thrones. So it's very divisive. So I'm gonna go around the room before we get started and ask, what you guys think of the episode in general. Karen, what'd you think about this episode?
Oh, me? I loved it. Everything was on fire. It was lit. I was all in.
What about you, Tatiana?
Most of the episode, to say the least. Yeah, there was some entertainment there, but I was just like, and I can curse on here, right?
Of course. Yes. We're going to be cursing a lot. Yeah,
you can cuss.
I said, what the fuck is happening? I just kept repeating that. I was out of town, okay? I was in Miami, so I was watching on my laptop, and every 5 minutes, I just kept saying, what the fuck is happening? What is going on? So I guess I was just confused most of the episode, but you know, there was some entertainment there.
What about you, Portia?
I did not know what to think. There were moments where I was like, you know, it was going to come sooner or later, like the Clegg-Gore-gate or Gregor Clegane-gate or whatever. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know,
Clegane-gate.
I'm just like, okay, so this is where we are at the end.
Yeah, for me personally, I've watched it 3 times now, and I'm not 100% sure. I have to like go back and rewatch some old episodes, but it might be my favorite episode they've ever done. Because
wow, really?
Yeah, like
the dragon.
Not just the dragon, but like shit needs to come to a conclusion. And there's certain complaints, like when there's things I haven't liked about the show. There's like a theme throughout the seasons we reviewed it, and it's always that the shit was going too slow. Like it was just like, mm-hmm. Come, we know where you're going. If I see one more fucking prophecy mentioned again, like. Let's get there.
Come on, Ravens ain't got to take all season. Send a text, keep it pushing. Come on.
Yeah.
That was actually
Portia and Ben's complaint early on in this season that everything was, well, not Ben, but another guest of ours, Charles Pulliam Moore. Their complaint was that it was happening too slow.
Yeah,
wanted to get to the point. And I'm just like, listen, I don't know why I expected this to work out. At first I was like, I like the character build up and trying to close those arcs, or what I thought was arc closure, and then it devolved into something else.
Yeah, I think for me, like, the thing I remember back during, like, I think it was season 5 or so, when there were still like 10 episodes a season, and it was like, are we gonna be going back to these sand snakes again and again? Like, is this a thing we need to do? Cause the choreography wasn't dope enough for me to be blown away by them fighting. So every week I was like, yo, they going in circles over and over to build the same narrative, like feeling. And I don't need the feeling. I got the feeling when y'all told me they want a revenge. Let's get to the revenge. Let's do it. So that's how
agreed.
I
agree. But you know what? That's because they did not do a good job of.
They didn't do them justice.
And Portia has taught me this because she's the book reader in the group. They have not done a good job. Both Portia and Mia, rest in power. They did not do a good job in translating this that entire story of the Sand Snakes whatsoever to TV.
And then
on top of that, when we're talking about just TV, like you're saying, Rod, that all that fighting, the sequences, the choreography, all of it was weak as hell. Yeah. So it was just like, this is dumb. Like, why even bother?
And the thing for me is not that because I didn't read the books, and I'm never going to read the books. No offense.
Don't take it personal. I'm never going to do it.
Yeah, no offense.
Take it personally. I mean it with all offense. I'm not reading the book.
Right, like
my shirt today says books and cleverness because I'm literally the book kid. Like I'm going to read the books. Like yeah. I'm gonna read them.
I
love books, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah, the book readers for Game of Thrones had a very adversarial relationship with the rest of us for a while.
Yeah, because
and now it's like everybody's in it together. One thing I do like is that it brought everyone together at the end, and now everybody hates it equally. But I don't think that with the book stuff, it doesn't matter if it's better in the book. Every book is better than every video media thing ever made. There's never been a book that was not better than what the fuck happened on the screen. I don't care if it's Lord of the Rings. I get that the books were dope, but just for the TV show purposes, I've been waiting for them to speed it up. So I was happy today.
Yeah, no, even in the, but even in the books though, like the, first off, I didn't even start reading the books until after the first season. Like, I had to see that first, and I was like, oh, let me pick up the books. And then I just got through them, and I was, like, ready for the next thing. And literally, like, yeah, everything's gonna be better than the books. But the thing is, they were so on book for the first like four seasons because they had the first four books. Mm-hmm. So they were doing really well. And then they had book five came out of while Game of Thrones was airing. And then they had as canon, but they were kind of off canon at that season two. So my problem isn't that, you know, it's not as good as the book, because nothing is ever going to be as good as the book. But there were key components in the books, and they used those characters, and it's like they took the characters without context, and it was like, then why did you even take them? Like, mm-hmm. You could have just, like, you wasted time introducing people that you weren't going to do the right way, so what was the point? You could have just not had them in there and wrote something else that was significant.
Oh, I feel you, but I feel like the adversarial tone with term, like, with the book readers and the rest of us, was more like them spoiling shit.
Right, that's the problem that I had.
You
yes.
know, them kind of...
We've been reviewing this show for years.
So yeah, there were years when we were reviewing it and the book readers were ahead of us.
Yeah, the book readers.
And so it would be a lot of like condescending, like, no, this is what's gonna happen, or this isn't a spoiler, and they write it and they spoil the show for us, and we'd be like, what are you doing? So there's an adversarial like build up.
That's
over
just like an a-hole. Like, that's just like a-hole behavior. Like, you can just, like, I feel like a lot of things I enjoyed, because what I saw a lot of was people, personally, I wasn't spoiled when the Red Wedding came, only because I read it. Like, if I had, no one had said anything to me about it, I didn't see anything about it, or whoever I was following on Twitter at the time, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So I never felt that adversarial relationship, but I heard about it, and that's interesting that they just, like, you were reviewing it and they just decided to spoil it for you.
Yeah,
that's
people, just yeah. And then there was like things where they think they're not spoiling it to it. I'd be like, oh, wait till you see the Red Wedding in this episode. I'm like, dog, what are you doing? Like, I want to go in. I want to just go into this and be like, oh shit, I didn't see that coming. It's a whole thing. So like, look, we normally don't have book readers on the show, but we extended. Right. We extended it to you because we trust you.
Yeah,
because
you
over there.
We allowed
you
to be here.
So we like this is a show of peace, guys.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like we're gonna show the world how to have peace while talking about Game of Thrones. Yeah, but like, I haven't seen a lot on the internet.
But like this, we consider you one of the good ones. That's why you are allowed to come around. Because like what was happening too, because we've been reviewing the show for so long, people would, you know how people just want to know everything now. So a lot of times people go to like the message boards and like kind of pick things up and then write into the show. So we was like, y'all, we don't want you to do this because we have no knowledge. So
yeah, they tell us like theories, but the theories came from the book, so it's not really a theory that's based on the show. So then if the show does something different, they're kind of like shitting on the show, but it's like that was a book theory, not a show theory. So it's just like a lot of moving parts. But let's get into the review, because we're already talking way too long. Where's my review music or theme song? There we go. Okay, take your time. There you go. All right, let's go. Game of Thrones time. The bells. We start in Dragonstone.
I know that song go hard.
That song goes so hard. That we go. We start in Dragonstone. My man Varys Hilton is being messy, as as one does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just laying. Yeah. He's laying on his bed on his stomach with his feet up, writing notes. spilling all the tea on Jon Snow's true parentage, writing, I had to, cause they zoom in on the notes and I read some of it and it's like, just had to, D-R-O-P-U-A line. This nigga is the real king, y'all. So I don't know who he was sending it to, but I'm assuming everybody.
Come on, all in the group apps.
I just figured he was just putting everybody on Front Street. Like, check this out. Like, Summer Jam screen of Westeros. Yes. And it's funny. I like that you call him Varys Hilton.
Yes.
I actually call him the Papa Pope of Westeros. Or formerly the Papa Pope of Westeros, because he always talking about protecting the realm and all that stuff. But, yeah, this was just funny to me, because when I just saw him just writing the T, and he was just going. And you know how many copies that man had wrote by the time the camera went on him.
Right.
And then, like,
he I was know.
So, like,
I expected them to like zoom out and his hand to be cramped up, because he had just been writing so many notes. Like, good grief, man, he was just up in there. And so then he gets a little knock on the door and a little girl comes in and she's like, so Danny ain't eating no food, and Varys is like,
we poisoned.
Yeah, right. Varys is like, well, don't give up, shit, you try again. Like, look, she might be hungry for dinner now. It's been a while, but she just done, apparently after Missandei died, she was just on some like, I'm gonna go to my room, I ain't eating no food, I don't want to talk to nobody, I ain't coming out, I'm just gonna go in here and ruminate. And Varys apparently has this little girl on a mission, and it seemed to be to imply the mission was to poison Dany or something through the food, because she even said the soldiers were watching her now, and he told her like, with great risk is great reward or some shit, and told her to get back to it.
It was that unseasoned chicken, man. I wouldn't eat that shit either.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that he was like, well, Dany wasn't even, like, she wasn't eating or sleeping. Mm-hmm. So she really just was in a really effed up place. Like, she mm-hmm. was, there's, to her brain was not restored. All those brain cells didn't die down and come back. The fresh ones that come in the morning, she did not have mm-hmm. that time for days. So she really was not in a good place. And it's kind of like she was like, no new friends, no new food, I'm just done. Like, yeah. All of it's over. But
no new friends, no old friends, no. She was like, no to everybody.
And I feel like, you know, we also are getting an insight into all the things that Missandei probably was doing. Cause like,
right.
Missandei was probably, you know what I'm saying, like checking the food or
doing her,
you know,
makeup, combing her hair.
She might have been seasoning the food. Definitely. Like, we don't know. Cause, you know, like that was making her, you know, like this is her best friend and she gone basically. So then, Varys leaves the room. We see John arriving on the beach. So this means that because John and Davos took the men from the north, the army, and they marched down, and they were gonna get there a fortnight after Dany and them got the Dragonstone. So it's been about 2 weeks.
That's what a fortnight means?
Yes, yeah, okay. What a fortnight. Mm-hmm.
You know, for to the light, as much as I heard that phrase, I don't know what a fortnight is.
Yeah,
you might as well make. I know
it's a video game. Okay, I don't understand how this works.
Portia, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
No, I'm always looking it up and then forgetting. I'm like, I think I looked this up before. I did look this up before. Oh well, and I like forget the next time that it comes out.
Yeah, because so bad. Because what's so funny is like everything in this world is made up. So I'm assuming Fortnite was something that they made up too. Like
I don't use slavery terminology. Sorry.
Wow. There's literally a video games named Fortnite. But okay. Yeah. So then
that's the only one I know, bro. I don't know what that shit means.
But
man.
People play that more than 2 weeks.
All right. So then, Varys runs up on John, and he ran up on John like the way like when y'all get in trouble at the house, how you try to run up to your parents before your brother can like tell what happened. Like he and Tyrion was like looking on like, this nigga snitching, and he ran over there and he was like, hey John, so what's up man, I'm glad you made it back and everything, but you know, I'm worried about Daenerys, she ain't left the room, she ain't eating, he ain't mentioned he was trying to poison her, but you know, she all messed up right now, I think she might go crazy. You know, they say every time a Targaryen is born, the gods flip a coin, and then they just, the world holds its breath waiting to see if they're gonna be crazy or if they're gonna be cool, and we still don't know what her coin flip, you know what I'm saying? So maybe like you should be the boss and you could be the king. And then John's like, I'm gonna stop you right there, player, that's my queen, don't talk about her in front of me like that.
And John, Rod, mm-hmm. John Snow is a useless goat, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no reason for this man at this point.
Because he don't want the
helping
job.
Anything. I don't, like, that's why I said, oh Lord, when he said, we gotta talk about John. What the fuck? Like, John ain't doing shit. He ain't about that action. Like, come on, man. He about killing himself. For 5 seasons straight, this nigga tried to kill himself. And then the Lord of the Light brought him back.
Yeah. He was kind of mad. Remember when he first got brought back and he was mad? Like, for real? Y'all brought me back to this shit? Like, I was dead.
Like,
damn.
I'm so happy. That should have told you off break. That should have told you when he came back. And he was like, damn, fam. Y'all really did that? Like, why? Like, you ungrateful bitch. Go back, man. Like,
yeah, John.
Useless goat.
John looked like, I just came here and y'all keep giving me job applications for jobs I don't want. Quit applying me for these jobs that I didn't ask for.
Yeah, like on an NBA term. In NBA terms, he kind of reminds me of this guy Kawhi Leonard, who's he's really, really good at basketball. but he has no charisma, no interest in like shoe deals, no interest in commercials. Like, he doesn't do big good press conferences. He can hit a really exciting shot. After the shot, when they're doing the press, you know, the like the interview, like, oh, what were you thinking when the shot was in? He's like, I was trying to hit the shot. And they're just like, you don't want to say no.
You
like,
want to elaborate?
I called game. I said, get up, motherfucker. Like, nope. I was, that's the
but John is a good orator, though. John can talk. Like, he's good at making speeches.
Right.
Like,
well,
that's how he gets the people going.
That should be his job, okay? He could be a public speaker and let that shit, other shit go. Like, none of the other shit is effective whatsoever.
Well, my point.
He's gonna be commander. He was cool.
Yeah, my point of that I'm saying about Kawhi is not that he's not good. He's good at basketball, but the problem for him is he doesn't want to be the best guy. Like, to be the face of the league, you have to like do a bunch of extra shit, right? You got to do the good press conference. You got to do interviews. You got to have endorsement deals. John ain't interested in that.
No.
John just won't be good at basketball. You know, like the thing he's good at. He's pretty
good. What's he good at besides speaking?
He's good at fighting. Like,
and one other thing.
he go down. He go downtown. Like, but I mean, he got some good qualities about the dude. It's just he don't want to be king. So yeah, John's like, kill out with that king shit, bro. That's my queen. And then Tyrion oversees it, and he's like, I don't like this shit. I drop a dime on this nigga. And so he goes into Danny's room, and he's like, so Danny, something you need to know. And she was like, somebody done betrayed me. And he was like, damn, how you know somebody done betrayed you? And she was like, yeah, Jon Snow. And he was like, no, Varys. She was like, okay,
no,
so
bitch.
I think I'm gonna have to repeat myself, Jon Snow, because Varys found out because you talk too much. You found out because Sansa runs herself at the mouth. And Sansa found out because I begged John not to tell her ass, and he told her anyway. And now that's the dude who really betrayed me. And now I got to deal with this bullshit. And she was right. Tyrion looked surprised that she figured it out, but I felt like it was pretty accurate.
It was also Tyrion? Pretty obvious. I didn't understand Tyrion's shot. Well, the only thing he was like, why would you, like, Tyrion right now is just really naive, and it's really bothering me.
It's bugging the crap out of me too.
The last few episodes is starting to irk my nerves. So I'm like, as smart as he's supposed to be, as smart as they present him, and as much as they keep every character talk, he's so intelligent, he's so this, he's so that. Why are you like, oh my God, Danny, why would you think John would be the betrayer? Like, it was so fucking stupid. Like, grow up.
I feel like he's been that way this whole season, and like these past two seasons especially, but like, how are you getting read by Sansa in the first episode of the final season? She literally was just like, I used to think you were smart. And he just let it sit. And I'm like, how are Lady Olenna leaves, and now Sansa's gonna have all this, like, the quips. I mean, I guess that's where we are now. Like, we literally just, Lady Olenna died so that Sansa could ride, like, with the quips and everything.
You know, I will present one counter argument, and that is this. I'm not sure he was ever that smart. Only because.
That's what Benjamin says.
Only because he's always had the same weakness for the whole time, which is that when it comes to his family, he's always a little too soft on his family. He can't do it. Like, Cersei has tried to literally kill this nigga more than once, and he still be like, it's his sister, so he still can't be like, let's just find a way to take her out. He's like, maybe we can get away for her to escape. Maybe she'll come to her senses. Maybe she's not a real monster if we talk to her. She is a monster, dude. You're just related to her. You know?
I feel him, and then I don't, because he said so to Jamie, to his face, several occasions, and on the last episode, he said, you the only one who's never treated me like a monster in my entire family. His entire family paid him dust since the day he was born. Mm-hmm. His mother, his father, everything. So the only person who fucks with him is Jamie. And then, you know, they've been separated for 4 years. So why would you have this irrational view that your sister's going to come around? Like, your sister has never fucked with you. Your sister's never fucked with you musically. Why are you trying with her?
But that's my thing. That's my thing. That's the most consistent element about the writing for him on the show, is he's always been one who was being too weak with his family. Even when Joffrey was in charge, he should have been trying to kill Joffrey. That motherfucker was, he was upset Joffrey got killed, and Joffrey ain't shit. He was trying to save Cersei more than once. Like, he, like, there's something about family loyalty. Even his shitty ass father, like, his father had to have sex with, had to put him on trial and have sex with his girlfriend in order for him to kill his father. Like, he just has a huge blind spot when it comes to his family and being like, nah, it's not as bad as y'all think. It is as bad as you think.
I think this is what I think is out of character for him, is that, like, his family is, and him killing his father is more out of, like, passion or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the books, like, he literally sets Jaime against Cersei because he's over Jaime and Cersei being a unit or whatever, and he messes them up. So he knows who he's messing with, and I just, it's, like, out of character for him to come back to, oh, I think we can reason with Cersei. Like, when they were at the King's Moot in the last season, mm-hmm. and Dany rode into her dragon, and she was like, oh, and he was like, oh, yeah, we can, like, treat with Cersei. We can make it make sense. She's gonna, like, take, we're gonna show her this White Walker, and suddenly she's going to believe everything. And it was like, that's not how Tyrion thinks.
No. Yeah. You mentioned that. I thought she was going to come around to that. Like, that's not like somebody just saying stories and, you know, fucking with you. They saying, yo, bitch, is a zombies is real and you got it in front of you.
Yeah, they tried to let it.
Not turn around and not be evil, but I swore she'd be like, oh, the threat is real.
They even tried to let it eat her, and she still was on some, like, she pretended to be bothered, but of course she was secretly unbothered. But anyway, all this stuff.
Because she thought she was going to get got for a second. Right. And then whenever they're like, oh, we'll protect you, she's like, oh, well, I'm protected, so I'm fine.
Right. And so my whole thing, though, is, to me, that's consistently been a problem with Tyrion. I don't think people act like it came out of nowhere. I don't read the books, so I can only go by what the show's done. He just always been whack with his family. Like, his family is whack. Hey, he refused to admit he got a whack ass family.
Hey, do y'all think that Tyrion is like Tiger Woods when he got off the hoes, he lost his power? You know, when Tiger was throwing them hoes, mm-hmm. he was winning all the grand slams. All of a sudden, your hoes leave, and all of a sudden he just got stupid.
Yeah, he did. I mean, look, it is what it is. He drinks, he doesn't know things as much anymore.
I mean, he was hitting them hoe houses, he was straight to go.
He be wrong a lot. So, and this is gonna come back up later, cause he's consistently wrong, so it adds to another thing. So then, anyway, she finally is like, okay, well look, I know this nigga betrayed me. John ain't shit, but clearly we gotta kill Varys. I mean, duh, the nigga is treasonous. It's not really like he's giving me much of a choice to work with here.
This man that has been a master spy and assassin mm-hmm. since Jesus walked didn't think to, you know, dip out in the cover of night or take one of them little dinghy boats and get the fuck out. Like, that's the other part that I didn't understand. Why was he still there? And like, when he heard the soldiers coming, he was just like, up, let me wrap this shit up, burn my shit, they about to kill me. Why didn't he just leave?
I think, well, we're getting to that, but real quick, Tyrion did apologize again for the 97th time. And then Danny also pointed out that Sansa played him. That Sansa told him because she knew he was gonna do this shit, and he did it. So Sansa is playing the game better than Tyrion can even see it. So yeah, Varys is in his room writing another note. He hears some footsteps coming down the hall, and they sound like soldier footsteps. They all in sync. And so he burns the note, and he takes off all his jewelry.
He delete all his texts, erase all his history.
Right, he erases porn history, and then he sees Grey Worm open the door, and he was just resigned to his fate, and they march him out to the beach to kill him. And I think he was there because he was just resigned to die. I think he really did think, like, I die for the realm, I'm good with it. He told Tyrion, do what you got to do last week. And Tyrion apparently did what he had to do. Tyrion called his bluff, because I think if he was concerned with getting away with it, especially after the Red Witch told him, like, basically, you're going to come back to this land, you're going to die. If he was concerned about getting away with it, I think he wouldn't have came back. Like, he knew what the game was. So
well, the Red Woman, she left and she said, we're both gonna die here. Mm-hmm. He didn't leave after he said that. He just stayed.
But so, but if I told you, Portia, if I told you, you're gonna die on the Fan Bro show, you're gonna die on the Four on Nerd show, you would be like, well, then I don't do the Four on Nerd show anymore. There you go.
Right.
So that's not, to me, that's not, like, his whole thing was like, yo, you're going to die here. And he didn't go, no, I'm not, because I'm out. He really just stayed there, and I think he knew what it was. So, and he thought it was, and apparently I do, you know, as much as I feel like he's messy, I do think he has been a consistent figure of, I think what is good for the realm is worth risking everything for. And he meant it. I really thought that at the end of the day, he would be more of his self-preservation than that. And I mean, when he took the rings off, I was like, God, it was like, you know, it was like in every movie where a woman takes off her makeup and jewelry and stuff in the mirror. And it's like a real, like, you know, like he took his shit off so resigned. Like, this is just what it is. It's just time.
See, they gonna get the real me today.
Yeah. Wow.
When he did that, I wasn't even thinking so much about self-preservation, but I was just like, if his job is, you know, he's Papa Pope, like, where's his exit strategy? Mm-hmm. But then, when, you know, interrogating those scenes again, it makes me think, well, maybe he's done his job and he feels like he's did all he can do. Like, we really don't know how many notes he got out by the time we see him. True. We don't know how often he's been doing it. Like you said, it's been a couple of weeks since the last episode, so you really don't know what he has done since that time.
Yep.
So maybe to a point, he just felt that he got to the end of everything. He's done everything he could do, and there was no need for an exit strategy. Like, his job was done.
That was crazy.
I'm surprised that, like, when we see that, like, he's like, that's the final, like, he's sending out the last letters, that we don't see him, like, making some other plans with his little birds too. Like, we only got one little bird.
Yeah.
We don't see him, like, wrapping up. That's why I felt kind of like it wasn't completely thought through, because Varys, like, has master plans, and he has the master plans inside other master plans. So it's kind of like, was he prepared really? Because, I mean, I think he was kind of like, if this is what it is, if that's what it is. But I think he was, like, setting up everything so that he would be completely, like, happy with how
he got world. At least to me, it read as he was prepared because of the next scene. He didn't die, like, sniveling or, well, somebody, hey man, you gotta, like, Tyrion, you gotta do this.
Varys is, no, he's not Littlefinger, he's Varys.
Listen, if a nigga about to burn me to death, I'm allowed to snivel, okay? That's not I'm not gonna look less at him. Like, he stared death in the face on some real, on some swag that of a man who felt mission accomplished, not of a man who felt like I still have work to do. Like, he even, like, so anyway, they go to the beach, of course, you know, Dany is just out there chilling, ready, and so Tyrion comes over to him and says the most obvious thing, which is, it was me.
It was me.
And Varys like, I know it was you, dumbass. You the only nigga I told about my plan.
Shit didn't hit the same way like when Olenna says it, right?
Right.
It was me.
Really,
all right, man, nobody cares. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, Tyrion said it all, sorry.
I like Varys basically, like, shrugged at him, like, okay, boy, what?
Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't like he said it was swag. Like, he said it, like, on some, it was me, nigga. That's why you dying. He said it like, oh man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he didn't even say it with his chest.
I hate it had to be you. And Darren's like, of course you did this. It looked like whenever, me and my brother, if we were both, like, if one of us was gonna get a whooping, it's like, oh man, my brother about to get a whooping. Oh man, I'm sorry, it gotta be you, bro, but.
I don't know what to tell you.
I'll be in the other room trying not to laugh, cause I don't want none too. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Varys predicted everything. Like, he already knew what was up.
And, yeah.
You know, he was like, you're not telling me no new tea. This shit is cold and old.
That's
like,
really, what made me think Dany ain't safe, cause of how smug, how, like, resigned to it Varys was. It felt like he got something in the works that's deeper than just, this last show.
Yeah, and who knows what else you talking about his birdies? Who knows? And I called him the internet. Who knows what else he told his internet to do or what else?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, he seemed, so it was like, you know what it was? It was like Doctor Strange dying in Infinity War. But he was just like, yeah, this is the plan. So, all right, you got me. So anyway, she's like, you know, she said it real cool too, where she was like, you know, I sentenced you to die for being a treasonous ass nigga and all this shit. And then she was like, Dracarys.
Right. But she didn't have no energy. But you know what? She was already halfway broken at that point. Yeah. Because she didn't say with no energy. She ain't say with her usual action behind it. You know, she usually say that shit with bass in her voice. Right. She just said that. Like she said it like it doesn't fucking matter. Everybody's dying around me. Everybody who I'm supposedly supposed to trust, I can't. Bye, nigga. Like she was just resigned to the understanding that nobody's here for her.
And then Drogon, he blew the fire, but he waited a second. Like when you got like the, when you cutting like clubs, you know what I'm saying? And you spade tight. Like he was just like, wait till these niggas see I'm cutting books. It's like, oh, you was counting that king? You was counting that king? Blood out. No, you're not counting that king no more. Cause I'm spade tight over here. That's how it felt. Cause he did not blow fire right away. He took like a good 45 seconds of just.
I thought he was giving her a moment to think about it. He's like, you didn't let me eat him all this time. So I thought he was cool. Right. Like, so I'm going to give you a second to tell me that you don't mean it. You're just trying to scare him. And then, you know, if you really want me to do it, I guess I'll do it. Like, okay.
Right. No, I'm not having me that shit. I'm mad they made that shit like a horror movie. Like, he came out of fucking nowhere.
Yes!
Like, get ready, niggas. Like,
I'm telling you, man. I know the rest of y'all are over it, but dragons will never get old to me. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, no, I love dragons.
Dragons will never be old for me. Especially not with this show that's cheap on the CGI anyway.
I grew
when
up.
When they come through and they just take everything down, like, when we get to the scene later at King's Landing, I was like,
cause you know, like we grew, at least me, man, I grew up with like claymation dragons and shit. So this one, like, I'm never gonna get over the fact that this show just have dragons the way that like a fucking dog can be on the screen as a dragon. That's crazy.
And then
it burned that nigga alive. And then the coldest cut of all time was a quick cut to the fireplace.
Oh yeah.
Benjamin was like, he was real, like he was like laughing. We were all watching it together and he was just like, yo.
I have a question though. Yeah. How does Drogon and them know when Dany's just saying Dracarys, who the fuck she's talking about? It's just cause she's looking at Varys? Or, I mean, there's other people next to that nigga and they was standing real close, like that shit's not that 3,000 degrees. Like I didn't understand how everybody was mad chill in that scene.
I have a theory about all that stuff, but go ahead, Portia.
I was just thinking, like, logically, like, if you're not going to burn anything right here underneath you, you're going to burn a thing across, and he was the only thing across, so it's like, Dracarys.
Yeah, I feel like they have...
I thought they were, like they have like a psychic connection.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they've established enough throughout the seasons that the Starks have psychic connections with the wolves, and they have psychic... She has a psychic connection with them dragons. So I just have treated them like an extension of her. The entire time. And of course Drogon being the like most connected to her. So then they cut to the fireplace. Dany's up in her room, warming up by the fire, mad, holding on to Missandei's
holding back these tears.
Yeah, she's holding on to Missandei's slave brace from when Missandei was you know, that's the only thing that apparently Missandei brought with her all the way from.
Not her spices, like her hair care stuff, not
deep sigh. My nigga,
she held
you
on to
tell
it.
Two white men wrote this. You want me to motherfucking tell me this woman who knows 10 million languages is amazingly capable in many different things. You telling me the only thing she brought across the narrow sea was her slave?
Yes. And she held on to it?
Like,
In my mind, I think she was holding on to it because the day that her and Grey Worm went to the beach, she was gonna throw that shit in the ocean, dog, and it was over. But as long as she was still working for that white woman, she had to.
Why would you take it back home? Why would you take it to the place that you just got taken from? Like, doesn't make any sense. Like, when
I hate to tell you guys this
because, you know, we are not a monolith, but I still have my work badge from when I had a regular 9-to-5 and I keep that
I stare at that shit every day
and remind myself that it's good to be working for myself. Like, I'm never going back. So you gotta have get your motivation where you get your motivation. I just think, you know, we're all different.
Wait. You are not going to equivocate your work badge with a damn slave choker.
Yes I will, cause I was working in that motherfucking, they made me feel like a slave every day. They was in there treating me terrible, okay? You ain't worked there with me. I know what it was like. Fuck them white people, okay? I'll never forget. Anyway, so and I'm
like, how you talk about it sounds how like Lawrence left his Best Buy shirt in the closet with Issa's like at the apartment. He's like, you know what?
You don't want to know how
that was.
Portia, you joking? But you don't want to know how long I kept my Wendy's hat. You don't want to know. I had that shit way after I finished working at Wendy's because I remind myself never going back. But anyway, I love this scene because she gave it to Grey Worm like this is all she had. And he threw that shit in the fire like, man, fuck slavery.
As he should. Right. As he should.
Like, fuck that shit. When we killing them white people? Like, he was looking at the clock like, tick tock. What is all this drama got to do with anything? When are we killing people? Okay? I'm mad.
My girl said Jacaris. Right. Like, what are we waiting for?
Jon Snow comes in. And, you know, he's all like, hey, Danny, everything okay up in here?
Oh, we pass.
Right. She's like, you know what, Grey Worm, you could leave. And then he leaves.
Grey Worm really looked at him like, should I fuck you up too?
Right. He's like, what you want? And then John
Grey Worm was like, give me a reason. I'll do it. Whatever.
Right.
Give me a reason. Just bump into me hard.
Give me a reason.
He's like, after something racist happened to you and then you just be mad at all white people. Where it's like, even the cool ones and shit, you're like, that's John, man. Remember, he's on the softball team. You're like, man, fuck John.
Fuck John.
Yeah.
But John is to blame too, because when he's up north, them old, dusty white kids was extra, extra freaking racist. And he's like, yo, peoples is extra, freaking racist. So I'm mad at you in default for leading them to be racist. Yep. Like, all y'all can go.
Shout out to great writing. That was some of the best writing in the series, was them, like, 3 seconds of racism up north. That we got to see them two episodes, because I was like, that's how it would be. Like, I was hoping they would do it, but I was like, white people don't never notice shit like that. And they did. I don't know who people did. They had them little white people.
Maybe one of the actors mentioned it, and they like, I don't know. Because I didn't see a lot of white people comment on the fact that there's racism.
Right.
Like,
they don't know. We know.
They didn't notice it.
Yeah.
They didn't notice it. And it's very indicative of the real world, because when we talked about that on our timeline, when we talked about that on the show, we had people responding to us like, yo, I didn't even think about it like that. I didn't see it. And
it was, you know, I know y'all and, you know, many people have been dragging, the D&D or whatever their names are, but that was intentionally done. Like, just the directing of it was on purpose. The fact that people don't pick it up is why we have Dim Thrones and Castle Black. And like, this is why black people have to find our own place, because it's like, you know, white people got mad at the fact that there was a hashtag that black people used to talk about the show. Like, that's so ridiculously racist, and they don't even pick up on it. But that shit felt so real when the white people were staring at them, because I was like, wow, y'all really ain't shit. They came to save y'all, and y'all was like, a nigger on a horse, like, get the fuck out of here. So then right. So then John and Danny have a conversation, and the long and short of the conversation is Danny's like, listen, your sister talked too much. Number one, you come up in here acting with your hat in your hand, but you shouldn't have told her, remember? And the people, now they gonna know this secret and they gonna fuck with you, cause nobody like me. And he was like, I love you. And she was like, the fuck I'm gonna do with that?
You fast out of here. Yo, John, sends me every time he open his damn mouth and say some dumb shit. I just be on the floor like, get the fuck off the screen, my guy.
Right. I love you.
She really looked at him like, love should have brought your ass home last night and kept your goddamn mouth shut.
Yeah, love.
Right, and you lying. And look, and as a woman, you are motherfucking lying. I'm looking him dead in his eyes. But I love you. Fuck out of here with shit, man. You a lie.
Love.
And I wish you knew about me. I'd love to hear say, like, love me like you love your redheaded girl. Like, say something like random. Like, to get him to be like, oh, you know what? You know,
love.
Yeah, I don't love you like I do.
Love and $1.75 could get you a bus pass uptown, but but it's worthless other than that. And so she was like, okay, you love me? Well, come over here and give me some sugar. And she tried to kiss him all up in his mouth. And then he backed up. He recoiled away like, ugh, you my auntie. What you doing?
He backed up like a dog was trying to kiss him on the mouth. Like, oh, shit. No.
He is so dumb. Just play along so she don't feel... That's the least you can do. It's just, you already effed up the bag. Just, you know, play along with her so you can keep the peace.
Yeah.
And then later on, you'd be like, okay, I gotta deal with this. Like, you know, work it out in therapy later. Just now, do what you gotta do in the moment.
Now, in all fairness, her face was not beat to the gods and her hair wasn't dead because Masandi was dead. So, you know,
keeping it clean. I thought he loved her. I thought you loved somebody. None of that shit mattered.
He also didn't kiss her after, but he didn't kiss her the last time she tried to kiss him.
Right.
He didn't kiss her back the last time she kissed him. So if she was testing him again, she was like, when I was, she was clean then.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Last time he was the one that tried to kiss her and then she pulled back because she was mad about that bullshit. And then this time she kissed him and he pulled back. And
he pulled back the other time too.
He pulled back that time.
Like,
I thought
as soon as he learned that was his auntie, he was like, mm-mm.
He tried to get with her. No, hold on. After the meeting, right, the conference call where she gave Gendry a promotion. After that, he was drunk and he tried to kiss her. Cause she was on that like, what the fuck, John? And he was like, oh no, baby, it's not even about that. Come on over here. And I said, oh, this nigga with the incest in private? I don't want to hear it. Like, you can't be
also. Like, she was trying to push it to sex, and he was not trying to go there. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't trying to go further than he was not even trying to go that far when she was kissing him. I think literally, as soon as he learned that was his aunt, he was like,
he was repulsed.
I'm telling y'all right now. I watched this scene today. This nigga was trying to kiss her, and she was the one like, I'm mad, nigga. You fucking didn't take up for me in the party, and now you back here trying to cupcake. Fuck that shit. Tell your sister. Because
his ass decided now all of a sudden to start faking it. Like, nigga, you should have been faking it this entire time and keeping everything on the low.
He don't got a poker
making
face.
It like everything's cool, because now that you're trying to do it after all, everything, I could tell that you lying. I could tell that you just
made a story. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing about that part. I'm saying the first time was him. This time it was him pulling away. If any time, this would be the time you fake it. This one, she needs you. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first time, I get why she was mad, because he let Tormund sit up there and be like, oh, my nigga John, he the only one ride dragons around this motherfucker. He should be the king. You know what I'm saying? Should he really be the king, everybody? So, like, I get why she was mad in Winterfell. But this nigga know everything is on the line. She going crazy. Her hair, makeup messed up. She probably ain't brushed her teeth, took showers in a long time. Like, you just gotta pull through and fake that shit, homie.
Take one for the team.
You just gotta get up in there and let her kiss you with the stank breath, dog. It's just what you need to do. And he did.
Very easy.
Oh my God.
Very easy. Keep your mouth shut. Don't be saying nothing to Sansa. Shut the fuck up. Fake it till you make it and shut, just let it, like you can ride out. Like, he has no strategy. He has no game. Like,
but even then it's like, do one thing or the other. Like, if you're gonna tell it, then make it up with her in secret. If you're not gonna tell it, then that's when you can be like, well, I can't have sex with you because
that's why I don't think he loves her. Cause I feel like, you know, when you love somebody, you'll kiss them with the morning breath, dog. Like, it's no excuses, homie. So he fucked that all the way up. And then she was like, you know, they don't love me. They love you. And I only got fear. He was like, no, I love you, baby. You always be my queen. So she tried to kiss him. He was like, hold up, baby, you tripping. And she was like, okay, so I'm just your queen. That's it. And he was like, I'm not kissing you back.
You my auntie too, bitch.
Right.
Nasty.
And she was like, all right, then. Let it be fear, which was, I'm not gonna front, music to my soul. Oh my God. I love conquering Daenerys. I know everybody hates that. They want diplomatic, like, let's start a democracy, Daenerys. Nope, boring. Mm-mm. Burn shit up. So I was like, oh, she about to burn these niggas up.
All the people that would have talked and she would have listened to, they dead and gone, dog.
Yeah. So then they had another, that, and they hit that scene next. They had a conference call. And they was up in the throne room, and it was so empty in there, you could hear the echoes. It was Tyrion, Grey Worm, and her. That's it. Missandei gone. Varys gone. Jorah gone. And so it was just Tyrion being like, come on, man. Stall me out, man. You can't burn the whole King's Landing. Like, they, you know, they got innocent people in the gates and shit now, and then they hostage, and you know, if you fuck them up, it's gonna be like you fucking up hostages. And she was like, yeah, see, that's the problem with you and your sister. Y'all, she think my mercy is a weakness.
Right.
But no, mercy is a strength. Cause after I kill these niggas, I'm gonna be real merciful to everybody else. And he was like, that don't make sense, Danny. Please. It was like, you gotta at least like talk to him or something, or let, like, what about when the bells go off and they surrender? Can you just like ease up on them and shit? And she was like, Grey Worm, get the Unsullied ready. I'm not talking to this nigga no more.
Security!
Yeah.
Yes, security!
And then she hit Tyrion. My favorite part about this is, Tyrion goes to leave because she ain't listening to him. She was like, hold up, before you leave, player, hold up. Y'all caught your little brother trying to sneak up in here past my line, and we caught his ass trying to get past my men. And he was like, oh, word. And she was like, yeah, that's another fucking thing you got wrong, dumbass. Remember when you told me he was staying up in Winterfell? Fuck up one more time. See what's gonna happen. And he was like, all right then, and he left. I love that she called him out though, because he be wrong, man. It's like he be wrong about everything related to his fucking family, man. It's not necessarily that he's stupid to me, but when the enemies became his family, he decided to fucking call off the, like, I'm gonna be so clever that on, like, well, okay, what if we, like, do it this way? What if we, like, talk to him and then we, like, write a letter, a strongly worded email, you know what I'm saying? It's like, no, nigga, we was burning people before this. You was cool when we was fucking people up. Now everything is, but hold up, it's my brother, we can't do that. Fuck your brother, homie.
See, I understand Tyrion wants to be accepted by his family and shit, but at the end of the day, the only person who fucked with you heavy was Jaime. So I understand him doing the wild shit for Jaime, but nothing else. Nothing else makes any sense.
Yeah, here's my thing, though. If you want to fuck with your family, why are you on my team? You see what I'm saying? Like, if I'm playing basketball, you on my five, homie, okay? You can't be kikiing with the other fucking team, homie. When we trying to win, you can't be like, man, don't pick and roll that nigga. That's my brother. Fuck him. Or get on his team. We can't, like, you holding the team back. I'm down two dragons fucking with y'all niggas. And y'all bad advice.
I love what Dany said to him. She's like, you try me again, mm-hmm. That's you. Like, literally.
Yeah, that was you. It. It really should have been him before this, but okay. I know everybody loves Tyrion.
It before Varys anyway. I feel like Varys never would have gotten to the point that he would have been, like, plotting against her if other things hadn't transpired. And I feel like Tyrion kept getting it. They kept having these discussions and they were getting into each other's heads and it was like a weird back and forth. And I think Varys probably would be the better person to keep around, even with, you know, him and his conspiring, because you know that his loyalty is only going to go but so far against you. As long as you can win him back, you're okay. But Tyrion's going to always lay down for his family, so there's no point in keeping him around. Just get rid of him.
When she Dracarys that nigga, I was low-key a little surprised. She wasn't like, Tyrion, go ahead, step on the X.
Yeah,
and you know, I thought she was going to bring them together.
Yeah, that's what I thought she was going to be like.
Like side by side.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be like, yeah, and you too. Like, I don't know what the fuck you think this is.
Y'all decided together for me. You only told me because you thought she was going to get got. So, both y'all can go.
Yep. I really was surprised that this nigga made it out. So then, after the meeting, you see Tyrion and Jon roll up to the camp with the northern troops, and Davos is waiting for them on the beach. And they like, yeah, so the rear guard of the troops ain't getting here till daybreak. And Tyrion was like, but Daenerys wanna attack now. And it was like, daybreak, nigga, like, what the fuck? Like, what, we gonna whoop them here? Like, catch a bus? This is it. This is the plan. Like, you gotta wait till the morning to fucking do it. And so then, the Hound and Arya come through the checkpoint and they get stopped by some soldiers. And the soldiers like, hey, where y'all going? Who y'all? And Arya's like, I'm Arya Stark of Winterfell and I'm here to kill Cersei. And he was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to let you through. And she was like,
that's been her logo for Elvisa.
Yeah,
let me go get my supervisor and find out. She's like, all right, see you later, my nigga.
Yeah. Like, I like that the half.
You can see that he recognized that she was a Night King Slayer because when she said her name, he was like,
you're right. He's like, ooh. And then he's like, can I get your autograph? But what I liked best was that the Hound was like, so, like, you do realize if she go kill Cersei, maybe you won't die tomorrow. Like, that could help you out in a significant way, homie. You should probably just look the other way. Right. And Buddy's like, yeah, but I still need to talk over to my manager to see if we can give you the discount. And he goes away, and the Hound's like, yeah, you do that. And they ride off.
And one thing I like about it, Arya's logo and her catchphrase has been, I'm gonna kill that bitch. She was out there by the campfire. She was like, I'm gonna kill that bitch. Mm-hmm. Y'all meet her and she gonna shake your hand. What's your plan? I'm gonna kill that bitch. She's been on that.
She is consistent with that.
And that's why I'm Arya Hive. Yeah. Arya Hive all day.
Arya's
and yet how they like complete her arc in this episode was so disappointing.
All right, we'll get to that. I don't think we're done. So then they ride off. Tyrion sneaks into a tent where they holding Jaime, and they have a real emotional conversation, and he lets Jaime go for the millionth time because nobody can ever hold this nigga hostage long. And we do get some bad Valyrian translation jokes because Tyrion has always been terrible at Valyrian. He ends up basically begging Jaime to go to King's Landing, save Cersei, escape through the tunnels in the underground, like where they keep the dragon heads, and then take a boat or something and sail past the Iron Fleet, which he says will be destroyed, and y'all can sail out somewhere, start a new life, and just don't let nobody know who you are. Keep in mind Jaime got caught because he wouldn't take his golden hand off, but that was the plan, and he was risking his life, and he also felt that he owed Jaime because Jaime freed him when he was gonna die after his trial in King's Landing. So that was the whole, you know, the whole thing with him. And he also told Jaime to set the bells off when their plan went through so that the city would surrender, essentially stopping the pillaging of King's Landing, stopping thousands of people from dying. And Jaime was like, ain't they gonna kill you for this? He's like, hey, the life of one not so innocent dwarf to thousands of innocent people, I'm willing to pay it, but maybe Dany will let me live because I would have saved her from having to kill all them people. And I was like, you thought? She told you had one more time. Right. This was it. So he let him go.
And it was a great scene. I will admit that I did like the interaction between the two brothers. And like I said, that's the only familial relationship that I even agree with because, again, that's the only person who's ever really supported Tyrion. So for them to have that emotional time with each other and embrace, and I was just like, all right, you know, I actually felt that when that happened. So
also that nigga can act. Like Dinklage was acting, like he was crying and shit. Yeah. Like I watched it the first time I watched it, I was like, because I hate Jaime so much, and I know many people have turned on Jaime. I don't know how that arc got to the point where people were rooting for him. This nigga tried to kill a kid. So I've been
early.
I have always rooted for him to die. So when he was letting him go, I was pissed the first time. I was like, really, nigga? Let him die for once. Like, what's wrong with you? But then when I saw it the second time and I could absorb the like acting, I was like, that's your man. He saved you when you was a kid and shit. I see it. So then
the only one.
Right. The only good nigga in the family to him. Keep in mind.
To him. To you.
Even in that conversation, he literally said, I don't care about them innocent people. Like, he's such a scumbag.
But see, I will say, scumbag or not, which I agree he is, Jaime is also a very consistent character. He has not once ever played like he really gave a fuck about anybody else except for maybe his family and himself. So
I swear I was the only nigga that believed he was going down there to be with Cersei, man. Everybody was like, I think he's gonna kill her because
I
was like, why would he do that? He really ain't been shit.
I felt like the biggest clown ever because I was like, oh, that nigga fitting to go down there and kill Cersei. He about to, like, he changed his ways. And he come down there to go save her. I said,
So that speech he gave to Brienne was the truth. He was like, bitch, I ain't shit. My mama ain't shit. My daddy ain't shit. Right. My family ain't shit. My sister ain't shit. And I love that bitch. So I'm going down there to be in love with her.
He read himself a pill.
But he said she is hateful and I'm hateful too. So I guess, like I said, my clown ass took that to mean, oh, okay, you realize that she's fucked up in the head and there's no coming back from that. You about to take her out. No.
Yeah, I think
that made too much
sense. Maybe if I can remember to say it when we get to the end, but I think there's a deep divide within the black fan base over the show, and a lot of it is because I think I'm consistently right about where the show is going because I don't believe in white people. Like, I'm pretty sure that's all it is. Cause like, people be like, this is a betrayal. I'm like, that nigga was never shit. Like, what, did we forget? Like, they did some convenient things that lined up with us. It's like the North winning the Civil War, where you're like, yeah, the North won the Civil War, but they racist too, y'all. They not, like, they treat they niggas like shit. They just don't care about these niggas down here. So, anyway. So, we get to King's Landing, my favorite part. And everybody's running around, the Red Keep, civilians is getting inside, Euron and his fleet is, like, looking at the sky, trying to see, like, you know what I'm saying, what the weather report is for the dragons. Yeah, that's my man. He's looking around like, what is the weather report? Is any 50% chance of dragons? What's happening? And then the Hound and Arya walking through the town with hoods on, as well as Jamie, because if you put on a hood, nobody can tell you are, apparently.
It's like Assassin's Creed, it's apparently.
Like Superman. It's Superman.
Yeah. Oh, I can't see you. Oh, he's invisible. Oh, like you said in Assassin's Creed. Yeah, just jump in the hay real quick.
Yes.
Oh, he's gone.
Jump in the hay.
I didn't hear that loud bang when he fell into the hay.
It's only in TV and movies that works. Like, I've never done that anywhere where I'm like, you know, I'm like, you
had the wildest thing.
Like, if you're at a party and your ex shows up, you put on a hood. It's not like your ex is like, oh, well, damn, I thought I heard he was gonna be here. Like, no, they just be like, nigga, why you got a hoodie on inside?
It's nothing wrong.
Are you about to rob somebody?
I still see you, sir.
Right.
You look the same, sir. You're wearing the same clothes you were wearing an hour ago. You just have a hood on now. I recognize you.
That's one of my favorite, like, TV tropes. Like, they do it with, I watched, what is that guy's name? Bruce Willis movie. The terrible one where he was shooting up Detroit or Chicago, whatever. Death Wish.
It's like every one of his movies, but okay.
He did a Death Wish movie. It was terrible. And so I watched it because I like those Impossible White Man movies. But his big whole thing was like, they can't figure out who's killing these people, who's like stopping crime. This guy, he's shooting up criminals on the street. And then they would show surveillance footage, and he just had a hoodie on. I was like, everyone would know who that was. Like, everyone would just be like, oh, John's on the news. Yo, he's killing people. Instead, it was like, you got a hoodie on. I guess we'll never know. So,
he would be 7 feet tall, 300 pounds, right, and put on a hood, and all of a sudden your ass is invisible.
Like, right. The Hound with a hoodie. Okay. Jamie with his big ass hand. Anyway, so. They,
the funniest part is how that works.
And it's
all
cold
hand.
She didn't work for
like black people in real life. Like, oh, I wish I could put on a hoodie in real life, and then suddenly you're invisible to the cops. Like, nah, but if you're white,
right,
you put on a hoodie.
True.
Then you're
coming in here with the real world stuff. I want to be in my fantasy world. Don't remind me.
Is that why everybody's so mad they can't escape through the show no more? Because I was escaping. No. That's why everybody's so mad. I was like,
that's real.
Say what?
They made it too close to real life being trash. It's all trash.
I low key wanted the I think for the good of America, the D&D, the two dudes who made this show, should come out and say that they wrote those abortion bills for Georgia and Alabama, because then people will be mad about something that matters for days, as opposed to a fucking TV show.
Right?
Come on. In the room.
They should just. They should
I see more anger about this.
Right.
TV show, which is all fiction.
Right. Then real women's bodies.
Real shit.
Yeah. Like, how about we get 35 signatures for that, guys? Something that matters.
Come on.
Real quick.
Why don't we get 16,000, people signature to be like, but go out there and vote. Why we waste our votes on Jill Stein?
Why can't we get some voter suppression bills?
Come
moving?
On.
Why can't we actually talk about the real issue there?
Come
can
on.
We get to someone who's like Abrams campaign, which he's trying to work on down there in Georgia?
Come on.
Dragons don't exist.
They wrote a story for Stacey Abrams that they're like, hey, D&D's writing No Confederacy.
Right.
For Stacey Abrams.
There
you go. Ooh, everybody.
It'll be trending if they did that. They might need to take one for the team. I know if they real, they should probably just be out there like, guys, we wrote the Voter Suppression Act for Florida. And then everybody be like, oh, fuck that shit, man. We going down there. I'm like, yes. Let's go.
Let's do this. Yeah. Let's talk about this for 7 days or 2 weeks and let's get angry and start message boards and protest. Let's do it for
so
that.
So then, after they do this shit, they walk through town with the hoodies on. Everybody's trying to get into the Red Keep. Jamie to save Cersei. Arya and the Hound to kill the Mountain and Cersei. And then the Golden Company comes and stands in front of the wall and face all the Unsullied who are standing, you know, just out of, I guess, spear range for those guns, those scorpions. Mm-hmm. And the Golden Company looked like the cover of a No Limit album.
They was shining
like a bunch of scrubs, let's be honest.
Yeah, like
that one in the front just sitting there looking like, what's the name of the guy from Shrek? What's the name of the prince from Shrek? That's who he looked like.
Yeah, and the,
oh,
and,
he does.
And like, he also the only right? he's also the only dude on he's also the only dude on the show with a regular name. Like, his name is Strickland.
Oh, Prince Charming? Was that his name? Somebody said Prince Charming.
Yeah, you're talking about
Farquaad.
Farquaad, yeah.
I was like,
Big head ass.
Yeah, Farquhar, that was him. But yeah, he's the only dude, like Strickland, the only one with a regular name, because apparently G.R. Martin ran through all the black names and he just like, I don't know, Strickland, he Captain Strickland. So they,
I mean, the Golden Company in the books, like they're related to the Restorosi. Mm-hmm. So like those names are supposed to sound like that. Like they're supposed to, some of them, like if you're not of a house, you get to have like the Connington, which is a very normal sounding name or whatever. So he gets to be Strickland because it's like you can tie to your Restorosi roots. You white like them, but you live over here, you know?
It's just interesting because for me, even the Westerosi names sound black, like Jorah Mormont. Like Jorah sound like a nigga name. They don't sound like white people named Jorah. So like, you know, like, so I think he ran out of names. He was like, Will Strickland. All right. That's him. He gonna die anyway. You don't need to know
him. Basketball player.
Right. Like
an NBA player. Like,
I do know a black Strickland though. That's a good point. You know, I take it back. Point withdrawn. Still using black names. All right, so then they're just chilling out front, like they needed everything except like fucking make them say playing in the background. And then Tyrion reminds Jon and he reminds Jon and Grey Worm, like, remember if they ring the bells, don't kill nobody. And they're like,
they were looking like, they're like,
nigga, what are you doing here? Like, it's killing time, bro.
Like,
who told
you to come along?
It was so sad.
Everyone made the same face that he made when he later on in the episode spear someone. Yeah. The same face he gave Tyrion. He was like, you 1 second away from catching the spear.
Right. He's like, you're not even supposed to be out here, man. What you doing? So then after that, Cersei goes to her sipping window with Qyburn standing behind her. And she's just out there looking like it's a reality TV show. And
come on through her window.
It's sipping her wine. And the Hound. The Hound and Arya make it into the keep right before they lock the gate. But a woman and her child are the last people to not make it. And they try to follow them in and they become important later. But Jamie doesn't make it in. And then he starts holding up his hand like it's a VIP access bracelet at the club.
Y'all see my badge?
He's like, soldier, hey, player, hey, it's me, Jamie. Everybody's like, man, it's not the time. We don't even remember you.
You see, they still ain't serving no drink at the bar. You see that?
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, the bartender walked right past him.
Don't nobody fuck with Jamie no more. That was quick.
But it's funny because it's like he was going to like his regular bar that he's like, he's a frequent there, but it just wasn't his same bartender. That bartender didn't know him. So that was because there's a Golden Company person. And he's like, I'm a Lannister. They know me. It's like, that's not a Lannister soldier. That's a Golden Company soldier. And they don't know you.
Right.
Goodbye.
So then after that, Dany and Drogon come down in the sky and they toasted the Iron Fleet like it wasn't shit. And it made me think about something, because I know a lot of people didn't like this. They was like, for some reason, they wanted to see Drogon die by spear or whatever. My whole thing was this, and this happens all the time in real life. Niggas ain't shit when they don't have an element of surprise. Like, when you pop up on a nigga and you don't see it coming, it's like, oh, damn, he got me. But when I know you about to try to fuck me over, now I'm ready for your ass. And Drogon came through low and fast and was just burning shit. Like, last time they popped around the corner, it was like, ha ha, they was just blasting niggas. Everybody had their spears already aimed at the right position and shit. When she came through speeding on that dragon, this nigga was like, oh no, turn the ships around. I said, nigga, them ships can't turn that fast. It's over. And she burned all that shit to the ground like they was the little punks they was. And I loved it. It was the best thing. And then we even got the like patented Greyjoy abandoned ship jump that we get from all of them at some point, because he was like, oh no,
jump.
Oh no.
Well, the Tommen jump.
Why did she even be called the Iron Fleet? Like, come on, if that's they sink like iron, if anything, it, like, did. Come on, just keep it.
The irony of that, it was an ironic name that they tried to call it that, because they did end up at the bottom of the sea. And she went through them in short order. It was so good.
What were you gonna say, Tatiana? Rod. Mm-hmm. This is the part I get, and that's, like I said, that's called the Tommen leap. Mm-hmm. All right, you just gotta get your
together
and jump straight.
But this is the part where I started really getting irritated. Really, the most irritation started happening here. I understand what you're saying about when you get ambushed, anybody in life, when you get ambushed, shit, when you sitting on the couch and somebody sneaks up behind you, you jump, you're not ready for that. However, if you're still the same capable person that you supposedly was all this time, why did none of this strategic while shit happened when she had two dragons, when she had three dragons, when you had more supposed firepower. You get all the way to this point where after you down to one, then all of a sudden you over here coming in like some damn jet plane. Like, I don't.
Well, see, I don't understand that.
And I don't understand why when that first scene happened with her being ambushed, why she didn't do the same thing before. Why didn't she just fly around behind the thing and blow him up there?
Cause, okay, so I have 2 points to that. Number one, they killed the fucked up dragon. Remember, he shouldn't even been out.
Yeah, but he was fucked up. So I wasn't thinking, I knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when they didn't kill Drogon, right? They didn't even actually get close to killing Drogon. But they killed the fucked up dragon. Because it was all fucked up. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't even been out there. Sansa was...
But I'm talking about Drogon. Like,
I said 2 points. You gotta let me finish. Okay. I gave you the first. So the first...
I'm sorry, cause I'm mad. I'm mad.
Yeah, Cause remember when, the other time when they blew up them ships, they had all three dragons and nobody got fucked up. You know? But they had this new weapon that they pulled out and they fucking had it already pre-aimed. They knew it was coming through the blind spot. Like, it was a good ambush. Cool, you got one of my niggas. And she was so shocked by the death. And so shocked by the preparation that she just flew off immediately. Like, she lost another son. So to me, that was all it was. And then the second time, I think she was angry. She knew what it was. She was prepared. She knew exactly where they would be. And Euron wasn't doing his normal, like, preparation of, like, this is what they expect, so I'm gonna do the opposite. He was sitting right where the fuck he shouldn't have been. And she fucked him up. I loved it.
I think some of that is a cop out though, because to say that, yes, I understand shock and grief and all that stuff. You lost yet a son. But also for someone who is talking about fire and the rain and all that other stuff, like, why would she not, this is not the first time she's lost a dragon. That's another thing. Why would she not immediately retaliate? That's why I don't understand. She's immediately retaliated every other time. Why this time no immediate retaliation?
Well, that's not true. When she lost the first dragon, she didn't immediately retaliate. She dipped.
That was the Night King.
Right, okay, but
what was she supposed to do with that? But
the point is the same, though. The point is the same. The point is the same. If you were so, like, if you kill my son, I'm coming right back at you, and you had that in your heart, she would have did it to the Night King, too. She dipped. She was like, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
She went up. You know why?
Drogon is the one that dipped, though. Drogon is the one that was like, oh, no, you're trying to put me in that direction, but I just saw my brother go down. I'm flying away. Drogon was the one who flew away. And
let me explain. Yeah, whoever flew away doesn't matter to me. What I'm saying is, in the Night King situation, that was completely misunderstood. They had no idea who they were fucking dealing with. They did not know he had Olympic-level javelin throwing skills and all that other shit. Cool. This is not the first time they've encountered a scorpion.
It's the first time they encountered It's the first time they encountered a fleet of scorpions on those ships. All of them aimed at them.
A fleet of scorpions, but that's not the first time.
But that's like saying, like, yo, it's not the first time you've seen a gun. A gun can still kill me if I see it 100 times. But if a nigga got 20 guns, yes, I might run. Like, it didn't seem so crazy that they would be like, especially with the shock of Rhaegal dying right there, and then them taking aim at shooting 24 or whatever, like, spears at Drogon, her being like, all right, we gotta get the fuck away from this. I don't want to lose another dragon right now, you know, because that's the only thing that would have happened. So now she knew what she was expecting, just like most military strategies, you know, like, the ambush might work, but then that next time, I know the tactic. So she just came through and fucked them up, and apparently they don't have the automatic setting on the spear gun bullets, cause these niggas was like, they was trying to reload like muskets. They was like, hold up, nigga, stand still. She just came and fucked them up, cause ships don't move that fast. So I think
that's
all it was.
The thing that made me annoyed with that scene was that there is nothing in that scene that happened that she couldn't accomplish with two dragons, and there's no reason why they should have taken Rhaegal out in the last episode. They could have had him make it at least to this battle at King's Landing. One scorpion take him out while he's out in the sky, and at least you're losing something big in this episode where she's burning all the crap down. So it actually makes more sense that she burns most of all of the city. So it would make more sense that one dragon got one side, another dragon got another, and it all came down. And it was like kind of like a useless death for Rhaegal to go down an episode early.
Yeah, I disagree. I feel like that shit was
I don't know if it was useless, but I just have a major problem with the way they treat the dragon sometimes like deus ex machina. Like, that's the end all be all. That's the biggest weapon. But then they turn around and, oh, they got killed by Scorpion. Like, it's like, which one is it? Are they, do they have a limited fire? Can they blow shit up with their fire? Or do they get killed by a spear and that's the end of it? Which one is it?
So it's yes and yes, right? Because you can't write something in the script that don't have a weakness or else it's not fun. Like, you gotta make, like, it's the thing that Jamie said when Tyrion was trying to free him. And he goes, we're gonna, like, Tyrion's like, that city's getting fucked up tomorrow. And Jamie's like, no, she killed two of the dragons and now we got them scorpions. He's like, and Tyrion says, look at me. I defended the city before. They are getting fucked up tomorrow and you need to get her out of there. Like, I think that like, you can have both things, right? You need, the dragon is obviously a symbolic weapon that is tied to her anger and psychic consciousness and all this shit, but it is also a thing that has to, like, they gave her three because two had to die. Like, you had to make it seem like she was shooting a fair one a bit so that we would go into this episode with, maybe she gonna die, maybe they're gonna fucking turn those scorpions on her and she's gonna fucking lose Drogon and trying to take the city. And everybody did feel that way until she made quick work of that shit and it was like, oh, that's right, it's a dragon. So I kind of like that.
I think this is what it comes down to. My major issue with the season as a whole is that we set up this whole world, like, even from the first episode, for us to be afraid of the Night King, of the others, of the White Walkers. And then somehow you're trying to make me feel like Cersei is as big of a threat as freaking the Night King, and then he's taken out already. So my big thing, I was part of that contingency that was looking at theories online and thought, ooh, what if the Night King skips Winterfell, the Battle of Winterfell, he comes up from the south, takes King's Landing, and then they bring up, like, the whole army of the dead. And then that's the big battle at the end, is that you're battling the living and the dead at the end instead of right in the beginning. So, like, I was already disappointed coming into it that we were treating Cersei like she was a big threat, because it just didn't make sense, like how Tatiana mentioned, like, make it make sense that one minute they're taking out scorpions left and right, and another minute they get taken out by scorpions. Like, make
yeah,
it
I
all
think,
make sense.
I think also, I didn't want to see necessarily Night King be the big bad at the end, because we didn't, to me, we knew less about him than Cersei. Like, Cersei has, like, we've spent more time with Cersei building her up as a villain, than to take her out
of
the
Night King at all at this point.
I think because they wanted to make it even for Dany. It's a war of attrition for Dany. She always had the advantage, so then you knock her down every episode. Now you're losing advisors, now you're losing your dragons, now you're losing your soldiers, and so then you come into the last battle and we're like, yo, they're fighting the fair one now. Now it's Cersei versus her, and we feel like maybe there's a chance with the Golden Company and the Scorpions and Euron. Maybe we're going to see an actual, like, fair, like a kind of a close fight. And so,
did you really think that ever was going to be a close fight between Cersei and Dany, though? Like, in your heart of
hearts,
did you ever
absolutely, because exactly what Jamie said. Like, she lost the dragons. Even Cersei, one lucky shot, and we killed this dragon, and it's fucking
every lucky shot before
the season started. Before the season started, did you think there's gonna be a fair fight between Cersei and Dany
coming
out of
y'all can't have it both ways? No. Now y'all can't have it both ways. You're saying, well, why did they have her fight this and do this and do that? And I'm telling you, yes, during the season they wear her down, because at the beginning we're like, it's not even gonna be a fair fight. You wear her down by making her do a bunch of other shit to come back around to this battle, and now we're like, well, in this weakened state, maybe she won't win, as opposed to at the beginning of the season, we're like, of course she's gonna win.
What you're saying makes sense from on paper, but at the end of the day, she has a dragon. Yeah. And as a viewer, when I see someone with a dragon, I don't care what the fuck they've been through. Don't nobody else got this motherfucker. And the biggest?
But
she had three dragons.
Yeah, and
why does she
and
only
what,
have three?
She has one, but the point
right,
I'm
why does,
is
why does
she
only
has
have
one?
Why does she only have one?
Don't matter. My point.
It does matter. How can it not matter? How can it not matter, Tati?
In terms of what you said about, yes, narratively, yes, they want to wear her down and make it like it's more of a fair fight. But at the end of the day, for me personally, as a viewer, it's not a fair fight. You have a dragon. You have the upper hand. I don't care if you have scorpions and all those. You show me that the scorpions don't mean shit. You show me that ground troops don't mean shit. You show me that any ballistas or any of that shit doesn't mean anything, because I have a motherfucking dragon that has unlimited fire.
Yeah, but and I think for me personally, a lot of this is that you're dealing with human beings, and human beings are flawed. You know how many people have massive weapons and don't do shit with them and don't know how to use them? You know, people actually do get in their feelings and get in their emotions. They get irrational. They get illogical. They fall in love. People do all this stuff. And I think, in my opinion, you have allowed Danny to get to a vulnerable state. Yes. And in my opinion, this was the way that they decided to present it to us. I had no problem with them fighting the Night King and him dying, because at the end of the day, it was always about the people as far as who was going to win King's Landing, not the Night King taking over King. And from me, because like I said, I hadn't read any books, mm-hmm. not the Night King taking over King's Landing. The Night King was a motherfucking problem and he needed to be dealt with. And right. I think that they got their people together, and initially Danny did have more people. She had way more people. So after the fight, when they got in the room, they said, okay, what did we lose? Half of this people, half of this, half of this. Now we're even. Okay. So now at that period of time, that's when they told me it was going to be a fair fight right then. Like for me as a viewer, that's when they presented to me as somebody's watching the show is, okay, we're getting ready to have a fair fight. We're getting ready to have two people go at each other. And I think that Danny losing both her dragons taught her to be more strategic. And also I think that the people around her that would have talked her through things, they died. They died because of that battle. And like I say, I'm just, for my opinion, it's just what they're presenting to me on TV. And so for me, I love her coming in and just burning everything down. I love that Euron and them was not ready. They wasn't ready. They wasn't prepared. Because like you said, who could be prepared for a dragon? Who literally can be prepared for a dragon?
And that's my only point.
But that's the point.
That's my only point.
Yes, I
agree.
Right.
I like Euron getting ambushed and all that stuff. I like the fire and the flames. Don't get me wrong. I like all of that shit. I just think that's funny that you try to do this. So at some point it feels arbitrary, but you try to do this thing where you're trying to balance the playing field and we're trying to, you know, show that she is a vulnerable human, which she is. All of that is true.
Right.
At the same time, you have established from for years now in Westeros, a dragon is the top of the top, except maybe the Night King, but a dragon is the top of the top when it comes to weapons, when it comes to a weapon of mass destruction. So now you're telling me that because Euron got a lucky shot in, that weapon is done, but then the same weapon you could just use? That's all I'm saying. Like, I just feel like it's a lot of equivocation. I'm not sure what the writer's point was.
And I do understand that, but dragons have been around before and they died before.
Right.
And guess what? And people
kill each other.
But see, I don't know that. I'm talking from the TV show.
They got dead dragon skulls in the basement.
Yeah. I'm talking about from the TV show. So
they killed each other.
Right.
And also we saw two dragons die by not other dragons killing each other. So we saw two dragons die. That's what I'm saying. So we know.
The dead skulls are the ones that killed each other.
Yeah, that's cool. We know dragons can die. So once we know the dragons can die, you've made different stakes on the show. If it was just her rolling around and all three dragons was alive and she's coming to King's Landing, we're like, yeah, she's never lost. So that's it. There's not even a point of, there are no stakes. You just weaken her for this one battle.
It's like she's rolling in like the Warriors. You know, you got a 3-1 lead. It's like, of course you're going to fuck everything up. And I think that for me, from what they presented to me on a TV show, they showed me that, like I said, people are flawed. And if you try to take away their flawedness for trying to control an animal that's literally can't be controlled. Yes, it's a dragon, but she can't control them. They were picking up random children and fucking them up and picking up goats and fucking them up. She cannot control them.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, they have this psychic power and yes, she can get on them and ride them. But at the end of the day, they're goddamn dragons. Mm. So, you know, I think that, for me, yes, they did show that the dragons are the top of the top. I understand that. But I'm like, Roger, once you showed me that they can die, it is, and I didn't mind her losing too. I didn't mind her going through the grief. And like I said, because I'm just watching from TV show, for me, that was character development. And sometimes I think that, when people see things in the way that they're, presented to them, I think that, how can I say this? Sometimes I think when people see things that are presented to them, I think that they, and not really you in particular, but I know a lot of people on the internet do this. Whenever they see something that does not go the way that they predicted, they automatically reject it. as right. it not being
that's
right.
Absolutely true.
You know, and so like that's kind of my pushback, and it's not really pushback to y'all, but that's kind of my pushback to a particular lot of people online. They got all these theories, they've done all this stuff, and immediately it strikes down into, because it's okay to critique. I don't mind people critiquing.
Yeah,
critiquing is part of making something better. But I think that,
for the record, I tried to make this fast, but go ahead. I was trying to keep this within the 2 hours, but I'm just letting y'all know we're gonna have to do two seconds.
But Karen's absolutely right.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do two sessions
about people just, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to keep it to just funny jokes, but okay. I mean, I didn't want to add a dragon debate, but it's
you
cool.
You brought up a contentious point. Okay?
I really just read the scene.
Everyone is feeling away about, like, they just want to, like, I feel like my thing that I had left over was not necessarily that how I was sick in theory, but, like, why? Like, why is this the way that she goes? Because I'm like, there's so many different ways that this could go out. Like,
correct.
There's so much that we did not explore here.
What's
going on with Brand's powers? What's going on with Arya's powers? Like, what's the point of introducing us to all this really cool stuff? And then I don't see anything of, like, what...
I think the thing...
There could have been intrigue that Arya, you know, like, did earlier that ends up with Dany dying. You know, there's so many different ways to go about it. So I think that's where I was. I was like, I need a political intrigue. I know it's a Game of Thrones, but do it in a way that I'm like, oh, I see how you set this up over time versus, like, it's like one character, like Daenerys is one getting chipped away at versus, like, showing how there's different people on the journey with her chipping away at her together besides Tyrion and Varys.
Yeah, I think, though, no matter what, if they would have done it your way, somebody would have been like, fuck this show. Yeah. This is not how they should have done it. So, like, I think now we're, like, this is how they decided to do it, and then everybody's kind of coming in with like, but what about another way? There were other ways they could have done every single thing on the show, and it's coming to an end. They had to make some choices. They weren't going to do the show forever. The actors weren't going to be doing this for, you know, 3, 4, 5 more years. The directors didn't want to do this for 3, 4, 5 more years. You know, it's just, it's got to come to an end. So this, to me, like, as long as you illustrate on the screen that a dragon can kick some boat's ass and some stationary cannon's ass, I'm good. Cause I'm like, of course you niggas thought, cause y'all got lucky. Y'all thought y'all were winning. Y'all just got lucky. Yeah. Y'all out strategized her and got lucky and shot up her fucked up dragon and thought, ha ha, we got this motherfucker. You don't. It's Danny and a dragon.
And also something else. I do think that they made a shorter season. I think that I understand your critique for the fact that I think that if we would have had a standard 10 episode season, some of these questions may have been answered and they may have stretched, you know what I mean? Like some of it out, but because it's condensed, sometimes they do shortcuts for things. And I understand people not liking the shortcuts to get to the answers that you feel like should have been answered.
Yeah, shit was too long before. Let's go. I'll take too short. Much like this review, going too long. So then, They fry them niggas, then they fry, like all the niggas on the walls and shit that's trying to reload and shit. Like, hold up, which way was the dragon going? To the left, to the right? Hold up, let me see your spear. And they was getting all fucked up, cause Drogon was sticking and moving and weaving on their ass and frying them up. And then, the Golden Company is up front, and earlier, Danny had told Unsullied, like, yo, y'all gonna know when it's time to fight. And so they just sitting out there waiting for the signal. And then they start hearing explosions and shit is rumbling. And then the Golden Company was like, hold up. What's, y'all hear that? It's something from behind. And then motherfucking Drogon blew the walls down behind them, knocking their whole little regiment down. A horse got fucked up. Like Strickland got knocked off the horse. Like the Golden Company, took a huge L because they wasn't ready for a fucking dragon. They was all built up to be nothing on the show.
You know what? They was out there like Cobra. They didn't know what was happening. They was like, what is happening? What's going on? They was out there like the stormtroopers shooting blanks, not hitting nothing.
Yes, that's a great analogy.
So then that's the signal, obviously, right? These niggas getting fried is the signal. So then Grey Worm and them was like, charge! And they cut through these motherfucking troops like butter. And I have remembered right as they started fucking them up, like, oh, that's right. Our guys that have survived these battles have been fighting like the best of the best. Like Lannister troops, and I know the Golden Army's supposed to be nice with it and shit, but you know, they ain't really been fucking.
We ain't never seen it.
Yeah,
we never saw any of it. Like, right. Where is this mystical? Why even bring her her elephants? Where right. her elephants? Come at? On, come on, that. Like,
come on, you didn't even 2 days ship them. She was mad.
Yeah, Cersei was refreshing her Amazon. Like, is my elephant delivery even on the way? And then, like, the other thing is like. Even with that, like, the Dothraki that are alive, the northern men that are alive, and the Unsullied have all fought those White Walkers.
Right.
Like, they a beast with the hands. So they was fucking these niggas up. They've been living in the wild, getting fat and shit and chilling. And yeah, they got real dead real quick. It wasn't even close. And then, meanwhile, Drogon was burning the fuck out of Lannister soldiers in the background. as Cersei looks on. And Tyrion walks through the ashes and burning bodies because he's so sad. He's like, oh, this death, all this destruction in my hometown.
Naive little man, come on, right? Come on.
Like, the only thing that was missing was that fucking song that they always play for sad moments, where it's like, all around me are familiar faces.
Yes!
Worn out faces. Yes. Like, that's the only thing that was missing during him walking slow motion through all the burning bodies.
Sad world.
Yeah, he was so sad.
Yes!
I was like, nigga, you knew this was gonna happen. Shut up.
He was like, you promised me you would not kill
right. He could have been a commercial for, like, starving children. Right. Or, like, same mood, same energy.
Like, go back in the car. Damn. So then John and the Unsullied, they get to the Lannister troops that are protecting the keep, and they like, y'all really want this smoke? And they were like,
we are not with the shit.
The bells aren't ringing, and it seemed like it's about bell 30. And then like, and this scene took like 5 minutes, cause like the whole thing was like, are they gonna ring the bells? Are these niggas finna get fried? And then like, Danny even perched Drogon on a building overlooking the people and the soldiers. And the soldiers seen Drogon and was like, Dragon Slayer wasn't in the orientation manual for
I was not prepared.
Like, no one put this in the work guide for this. So I'm gonna just go ahead and put my sword down. So
I'm a lion. I've never been told that lions did well against dragons.
Right.
I mean, I read the entire manual, and this was not included.
I think I skipped Dragon Day, so I'm gonna just go ahead and chill. And so people,
I need the shadow at night to the dragon slaying night. I need that shadow experience. I didn't do it. Yeah. I was sick that day, and
this is a good time to tell you guys. I lied on my resume about having Microsoft Excel skills. Okay,
I am not proficient. No, I'm not.
So then people start yelling like, "Ring the bells, goddamn! Just ring the bells, please."
The whole city,
somebody ring them.
That sent me. Where am I? Ring the damn bell!
I'm not there standing in front of each other though. Like, please, somebody, like you see, it's like if you're like, why? Like, if you're in a football team and y'all are about like, you lined up against each other, and you know that they're about to kill you, they're gonna take you down, they're gonna sack the crap out of your team, and you're like, you know what? Someone just throw it in. Just arrest somebody, call this.
Right.
Like, yes. Get us out of here.
That's like in boxing. They'll be like,
throw in the towels.
They looking like, ain't nobody gonna throw it.
Throw in the damn towel. Oh man.
He's already dead.
Right. It wasn't even soldiers. It was like normal people. Like, yeah. Ring the bell. Come on. What's taking so long? So then, they were taking too long to ring the bell. We see, Jamie get a sword and head towards the sewer entrance to the keep, cause he's still trying to look for his woman. He took his hoodie off.
And turned back regular.
Right. Should have kept it on. And then after a while, the bells ring. And Danny,
I love how Drogon was like hyping up the crowd. He was like, yeah, I want to hear them bells yet. Like, he was like having a time.
I love that. It takes forever before the bells do fucking like finally ring.
I know, they was like, thank God.
Right.
And I would have hated to be the bell ringer, because I know they were running their asses off. They must have been on the other side of town.
Gonna happen with the how much they kept talking about the bells. I was like, oh, she ain't gonna listen to them bells. I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew it.
So you knew. I knew it.
She
was gonna turn.
Drogon's energy was too. Drogon was like, I ain't staying here very long.
Yeah.
They was amped up on emotional energy. On physical energy. They was amped up. And I, as it started as it started going on long, as you said, the bell started ringing. It was ringing for like maybe a minute or two too long. And that's when I was like, oh, wait a minute. This ain't going to turn out the way I think it's going to turn.
That bell was chiming.
Yay!
The bell was dinging. And it was saying, "Nuck if you buck." So the bell goes off, and it starts doing the crazy thing that they do, like where first it's just like ding, ding, and then you hear like from Danny's point of view, and that shit was being like ding, 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 dong, ding, da, ding, 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 dong. Like it was going super hammer in her head, and she was like, "Yeah, I know they surrendered." And I know that the bells ring. And I know that I technically should be above this. And I should not be petty, you know. And I know that a lot of you guys out there who have bought the whole Danny is a protagonist now thing, which I understand the show did to trick y'all. And I never fell for it. Because I'll never forget when y'all called her a white savior on Twitter. And I said, you know what? Y'all right.
Who said that?
When they lifted her up and said, Mahisa! Mahisa!
So I mean, she is a white savior complex, yes. Yeah. But is she my savior? Did I accept her as my Lord and Savior in Christ? No, I did not. No.
I just never forgot.
Yeah, a lot of people
because I'm team keep the same energy. Okay, I keep the same energy.
Yeah.
So I never forgot.
I root for her because I root for the dragons. Mm-hmm. I root for the I'm team LeBron. Mm-hmm. I'm team dragon. Wherever the dragons go, I'm there.
Well, keep in mind, I'm not saying I'm rooting against her. I just remember when people was like, "She ain't shit. Don't fall for the okie doke. This ain't nothing but a white savior." And I said, "Noted." Now it's been 5 years, so most of y'all forgot. Most of y'all been rooting for her because y'all like, "Nah, she seemed like she trying to get it." And I'm like, is she really though? I feel like the only thing that's really been stopping her from killing people is that she had like 14 people in her cabinet like, "Nigga, you can't kill everybody." And they've been doing it every season. Just, "I think I'm gonna kill all the masters." Like, but some of the masters didn't even do the shit. Fuck them. Okay. All right. Cool. You know what I'm saying? We tried to tell you. And now them niggas are gone. It's just Tyrion outside the wall singing fucking Mad World. And it's just her on the top of that motherfucking dragon. Looking down at
Drogon
all.
Drogon is her best friend. Drogon is her most trusted advisor. And Drogon said, "Is it time? We going?" What Drogon heard the boxing bell when he heard the bells. He was like, "Listen. Ding, 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 round two." And he was like, "Okay."
And while them bells was ringing, Danny started looking down on them people. And all you can hear, all I can hear in my head. Fire! Fire! Oh, it was fire time, y'all! I've waited on this for 8 seasons! Oh, finally, that Fox News watching kingdom is getting what it fucking deserves since they beheaded Ned. And I kept the same energy. Most of y'all did. I watched y'all fall off.
Every time they went to King's Landing, I was like, I hope one day it burns to ashes.
Yep.
All of them.
They didn't trick
the only
me
time I
at
felt bad
all.
Is whenever the Tyrells went. I was like, I like Marjorie. Mm-hmm. I love Lady Olenna. I felt bad whenever Marjorie was caught up in that because I'm like, that's so twisted. I can't help. I hate her.
Right.
But.
And what they do to them.
The only time I liked King's Landing.
And what they do to our, what they do to our girls. They blew the sept up to get Marjorie. They fucking killed Lady Olenna and stole her. Fuck King's Landing. I can't believe the nerve of you niggas. I'm so mad at everybody in the world right now that was on Team King's Landing. Maybe we need to let them go. Fuck them kids.
That's
I was
them.
No. So happy. And thank you, Danny.
Like, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I felt no type of ways about the kingdom getting lit up like that. Like, I'm like, oh, y'all about to cook them niggas? Well, I mean,
and I personally
hate to see it, but.
Yeah. I was personally mad that they gave us a little person to care about, the woman
the
and the child or whatever. I was like, don't give me this. I don't care.
I know they're gonna die anyways.
Yeah, and my thing also is,
at the last effing minute when I want everyone to die, like they're all gonna die and they should die because they're awful.
Fuck King's Landing. Like my other thing too with King's Landing, because everybody, like I said, people be letting them slide on shit though. But like they don't even really fuck with the Lannisters like that. Mm-mm. They just don't. Right. They don't give a fuck about that shit. Like they are so trash, and they've been trash when Ned got beheaded. They was trash even when Cersei got walked through town. Then they gonna run up under Cersei. Yeah. Fuck y'all fake ass niggas, man. I fucking could not wait. This scene has been so long in the making, and I never folded. Not once. Not any time when Tyrion and them was like, no, you gotta talk some sense. Look, I know Varys looking out for the realm, but fuck the realm, dog. King's Landing can go. Then y'all worry about the rest of the realm. Like, King's Landing is trash. This is like Sherman coming to Charleston and burning that shit down during the Civil War. Like, burn the shit to the ground. It's the only way they gonna learn. The survivors will carry on the tale and be like, you know who you don't fuck with? You don't need to leave that shit alone. Like, that's what I needed. And she gave me that shit. And no show in the history of America in the world has ever had the courage to do some shit like that with a main character and be like, yeah, you know what? Fuck them.
Awesome.
I loved it. That's what the fuck is, that's why this show better than other shows, dog. Now, I know people mad because they didn't have 10 episodes to build up to this, but they only got 6. Just give me the burning. I'll fill in the rest for you.
And whose fault is that they only have 6? You want to know whose fault is that?
Who?
D&D.
How so? I actually don't care. I wanted less shows.
Don't care, but if you just want to know, HBO offered that they would pay them more money to make more episodes, and D&D said no.
Yeah, that's cool. They got other shit they want to do. If HBO really felt a way about it, they should have fired them and put 2 more people on it. If they didn't, then they wanted the best to do the best, so fuck them.
Is it the best though?
This show,
the fire was the best, but
they the best because they've been doing this shit for 8 seasons, and the only reason people are mad is that we're getting close to the end, but people ain't been this fucking mad the whole time. They were invested in this show until like the last season and a half.
You weren't mad until this season.
From season one, y'all been mad from season one? Keep it real.
Who said that?
I'm asking you. Have you been mad from season one?
The past 2 seasons.
Right. That's what I just said.
Because the show is not given. I'm like, this is,
But they made it from season one. So you were, the good shit was them too, when it was the best. And now that you don't like it, it's them too. They get all the credit. It can't just be like, y'all niggas the worst. No, they weren't the worst the whole time. They were the best for a long time. Now they're the worst of y'all.
They should have kept the same. My thing is, they should have kept the same energy. Where is my season one pinnacle Game of Thrones character arc and development in season 8?
Right.
Give me the same energy the whole time.
But listen, there's a lot of going on here when it comes to, like you said, people just being mad at them. Like, mm-hmm. To me, this is a whole nother situation about you're a hero, but you live long enough to become the villain. Like, this mm-hmm. is the same situation where it's just like, yes, they were winning in the beginning.
Yeah.
And as we're getting to the tail end, shit's starting to fall out. I also think it's interesting that those early seasons were based off of the books. Yes, they may have taken liberties, but they had guardrails, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these last few years, they've had no guardrails. Which is, once again,
not their fault. This nigga won't write the book.
Not their fault, but it's not even about fault. I'm not even talking about fault.
When you call somebody, they
don't have no necessarily a guideline. They're just kind of doing what they feel.
When you call somebody the worst, you are clearly putting fault. You can't say it's no fault. Your brain is putting fault at their feet.
I didn't say them. I said this season was the worst. But back to your point, Rob.
But you said whose fault was that? You literally said the word's fault.
We questioned if they were the best. We questioned, are they the best?
Y'all said,
are they the best? So let me clarify. You said, are they the best? Book. And I said, is this though, in terms of this season? Then you said, well, they only have 6 episodes, that's their fault. And then I said, well, whose fault is that? And I said, actually, it's their fault.
Yeah.
But it had nothing to do with saying that they themselves are the worst. There's been a lot of random stuff within this series that I have not liked, period. That's not to say I hated them from the beginning. It's just some stuff that was mad questionable. The way they treat women, the way they use rape as a way to do character development.
I hate to jump in right here, but this is why I'm gonna jump in. And I'm sorry, book reader. When all that rape and stuff was happening, that shit was based on the book. Right. All that shit people was complaining about, a lot of
the
that stuff was based on the book. Yes, no, they had rape in the
not
book.
No, it was not.
I'm not saying.
Oh, so only Sansa. Okay, only Sansa.
Well, yeah, I'm not
that's
saying.
The only one that matter.
I'm not
There's
saying.
A couple other people that are not the real ones either. But Sansa especially, no.
But I'm not saying this. I'm saying rape was in the books, right? Or am I lying? Okay, rape was in the books. That's my whole point. Rape was in the books. When they was following the books, it was more rape. And that's something that's a true fact. It was more rapes because they was following the books. When they got off the books, the rape went down. You know, like, after they got off the books, the raping on the screen went down.
Even the nudity went down.
Right, even the nudity
went down. We don't even get sex position anymore.
Right. Even the sex scene where you trying to tell me what's happening, I'm watching titties bounce in my face where I need to actually be listening to her sucking your dick. I need to be listening to the words coming out of her mouth. All that went down. Like, and so for me, you know, and I think a lot of my critique, with it is that I understand what Tatiana is saying about them having liberties, but I'm with Roderick. They were following the books. This nigga is taking pictures, rolling around, doing everything else to write in this goddamn book. Mm-hmm. If he would have wrote the book, they would have had something to follow.
And they still met with him and got the outline for where he's going
no
with
damn
the books.
All y'all waiting on George to write this book. He ain't waiting, writing shit.
Right. So then they can either wait.
I think my thing is, if they're the best for translating the book to the show, they're the best for that. If they're not going to be able to keep that same thing going, then hire someone who's going to help them have that extra canon or something to help them keep things gelled together, because without something to keep it gelled together, they're not the best
to come up with stuff on their own.
That's
what they consulted with G.R.R. Martin for. This is, for better or worse, this is what
they had an outline. They didn't have like a whole, they interviewed George, like, how much did you have input on the show for the past few seasons? He said, I only gave them an outline. That's it. They didn't keep talking to him. That's right.
My point is, that's all anybody gonna have. He didn't write them fucking books. It's only an outline. There's nothing else out there. Someone else would have taken over, and they would have also had to go off an outline of general ideas and make up the rest of the shit. It's a flawed product.
Why someone who's good at doing that is what I'm saying. You know if you're good. I'm good at writing a book report on things that are like this. Someone else is good about writing it like
that. So then
that
would be right
on tone. Then I'm gonna pick them up. And if I'm bad at that, I'm gonna need you to help me.
So
write
then,
this
well,
part.
There's two things. One, I'm sure they wouldn't agree that they're bad at it. Two, HBO should. HBO's the people that make that decision, not them. Like, if you come to me and say, "Hey, we want you to make four more seasons of this shit," and I go, "I don't even have a fucking outline. All I got is an outline. I can give you 13 episodes, maybe, and we got to wrap this shit up." And then we go, "Fuck you, motherfucker!" Like, they don't have a choice. This was the fucking options. Two bad options. Anyway, we have to go to the next segment because we're gonna get cut off. Let me pause this recording and instruct them. All right. So I forget where we were in the story, but I think we
were at King's Landing. Well,
you were talking about Fire and Flame, but
Drogon was about to go off
and all that stuff. And Rod, you know, I understand your frustration. Like I said, I just wanted to be clear. Like, yeah, the book readers got one thing, internet people got another thing. I'm very rational. It's just that I got to call out stuff that doesn't make sense to me, and I appreciate your viewpoint. I appreciate both of y'all's viewpoint, but like, some of that shit just don't make no sense.
Yeah, it's that thing, right? It's the art is subjective, right? This is something that's bothered me all week, right? Because people have been so insulting and dismissive and so mean. But I respect that y'all don't have to like something or don't have to like it the way I do, right? That should be allowed. But then I should be allowed to also be like, well, if you ask me a question like, well, what about this? I should be allowed to be like, well, this is how I took it. So that this is the reason that I'm not bothered by it the way you are. And so when y'all ask those questions, I'm going to always answer them, because I feel like that's what's been missing in everything, is people talking past each other. I don't like it didn't make sense to you. And then I'm not stupid either. So let me tell you why it made sense to me and why I was okay with it. You know, it's the same thing where like, I respect when people say it's rushed and I don't think they're taking their time. I'm like, yo, I can feel you on that, because it is rushed. It's just that I've been waiting 8 years for them to rush it. So for me, I'm just like, oh, it lucked into what I like. Like, it got better to me as it got worse to other people, and that should be okay, you know?
Yeah.
The things, I love the ballsy move of having Daenerys consider like, you know, these other points of view for all this time when we know that she's a conqueror. And then her to be like, but fuck that, now these people aren't around. Because most other shows, they have like a cop out, right? Like, I love Marvel. I love Marvel, right? Love it. But how many of their movies end with this compromise where nobody has to really get hurt, right? It's always like, oh, we can get the people out of Zarkovia and we can do this. And it's like, real life doesn't work like that. Something fucked up would happen and all them people would die. Because bad guys aren't going to just be like, I'm going to present an open weakness. Like, no, you're going to have to come in here and do, this is what hostages, this is the point of having hostages, right? So I liked that the show was like, yeah, maybe she would just be like, fuck it. And I was cool with it. But I respect the people that feel a way about it, because I think the show's supposed to make us feel a way, and not all of us are supposed to feel the same.
Right. And also, I enjoy the discussion, because I feel like this, when you talk to people online, people act like people that disagree with them, like their feelings are not valid also. Right. And so I like kind of talking back and forth, and I'm very passionate, so I didn't, you know, I don't, it wasn't nothing personal, but like,
yeah,
I,
but
I,
nobody like,
right,
nobody
think it personal.
Yeah, nobody, yeah, no. Conversation. Yeah, people can disagree.
I like the back and forth. I like the, you know,
yeah nobody called each other, like, what I like here is nobody call each other names.
Oh, no,
nobody's fucking like, you know, like, fuck you, this, that, like, everybody's just like, I liked it, you didn't, you know, and that's, and we're going back and forth on like what we liked, what we don't. And I think that that's been missing from all this shit. Everybody's right. Just like, yeah, one completely one way or the other. And at the end of the day, yeah, it's still just a TV show, it's still just entertainment. Like, real shit is happening in the world that people won't be mad about for weeks the way they are about this show, that are much more important. So I just think everybody should calm down, because the ultimate thing is we're having fun watching this nerd shit, you know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people's emotions are hyped up because there's so much bad going on in the world. And so people are at this place where you don't kind of want to hear too much from other people who have a different view from you, because when you are hearing from people in the real world who have different views from you on really big ideas, it's usually like, it's either like the right thing or Nazis, and you, like, you're kind of still bringing that energy into a TV show about dragons, and you don't to come to the point where you're just saying people, well, just don't watch it if you don't like it. Like, right. No, it's not what it is. We're literally like all nerding out about the same show. Not everyone's going to feel the same way about different things.
Yep.
And we're all going to be talking, and it's going to get kind of heated because one person's going to like it, someone else is not. But you're going to just be chilling. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? I respect you for making a point about how you felt about the pacing and how it comes down to you, like how you felt, how long you're waiting for it, and how it made sense to you. And honestly, like, how you felt about character development in a way that I did not feel about character development. And that's fine. Because sometimes someone sees something that I don't see, and I'm like, you know what? I didn't even think about it that way. Or maybe I should, like, think about that next time I see something like that. And it's not.
Because if they did it the Porsche way, and we got, like, say, two more seasons of 20 episodes, I'd be the one over here like, I thought episode 6 they could have skipped the whole fucking thing, right? Like,
but I don't even want 20 episodes. I'm with you. I literally was, when they were having, like Tatiana said earlier, the first two episodes of the season, I was like, if they would have just cut the first half of the first episode and another part of the second episode and put it together into one episode and give me more time with the I love magic. Give me more time with the dragons taking stuff down. Give me more time with the White Walkers. I didn't see the generals do anything. Like, I just want you to give me a fully fledged story. You've given me all these really cool things, and I'm upset because I didn't get to see them happen. Like,
I feel
like that was what my issue was. It's I don't care about, like, these episodes are super long. A girl gets tired. I got to go to work the next morning.
Right.
Like, it's fine. But, like, you know, like, really, it comes down to, there's just so, you know, whenever you're like, there's so much potential in something, and I just want to see it come out. Like, that's how I felt. I'm like, I really wanted the magic. I wanted to see the dragons.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Portia, but you know, there's some people that are like, we need more episodes. And I'm just saying, that's cool. It would, you know, if they would have did it that way, I still would have watched, because I'm not, like, even when I don't like an episode of Game of Thrones, it's still better than, like, 99% of shit on TV. Like, you know, like, hyperbole and stuff online is getting so out of control now that it's just like, trash, the worst. I hate these motherfuckers. I'm like, I don't hate these niggas. They gave me 5 great seasons that I loved. So now I hate them. Like, no, y'all niggas was good then. And now people don't like this. There's people that didn't like it then that now like this shit. So, like, you know, it's like a balance to all of it. I'm trying to stay out of the hyperbole and the fray of, like, going back and forth and disrespecting people and shit. And I, you know, that's the only thing here. Everybody's being clear. So hopefully people listening to this can pick it all up. So, all right.
Yeah.
So yeah, them bells rang and she said, fuck this shit, and burned everybody. And it
for
looked
like 10 minutes.
Yo,
she was going.
Did anyone else think she was only going to do like half the city? Like, did you think, oh, so you're going to stop right there at that boundary line right there?
This nigga drove out unlimited fire. Like, you don't need a license or nothing. He's just going.
And that's why I think
to like go into the air higher and then come back down again. Like,
yes.
I have never seen it. I have never, like, obviously we haven't seen it.
Right.
This is the first time he's really been let loose.
Yep.
My God.
Right. The first time he's been let loose.
That's why I think he's tied to her psychic connection. That's why I think they couldn't fade him. Cause this wasn't even like normal Drogon. Like, they were so fucking on point this time. Like, none of them scorpions wanted to see him. They was moving faster. Like, everything was just her rage. And they were feeding off each other.
Okay.
And then that's why I think she couldn't stop herself, man. Like, she was just like, fuck that shit, man. We burning. Yeah. And she burned.
I mean, Drogon. Yeah, Drogon is definitely her mirror, like her physical space mirror, and he is a manifestation, as we talked about their psychic connection, he's definitely a manifestation of her emotions, he's definitely a manifestation of her inner thoughts, so the moment, if she's gonna rage out, he's gonna be like, well shit, I'm a dragon, so I'm gonna do what dragons do, I'm gonna burn shit down.
And like, they cooked longer than Big Mama on Thanksgiving, okay? They was up in the air. It was a good like 45 minutes of just like other shit was happening on the ground, and this, you look up every like 2 minutes and just see him flying across, like, and I'm burning these niggas too, I'll be right back, and I'm burning that house because fuck them.
When you did that, you remind me of the pirate ship ride at Great Adventure. What did you call that before?
Yeah.
It
was so beautiful, man. Oh my God. Like, I'm so glad this show didn't go out without showing us the full potential of a dragon. Cause I thought the way that people wanted it written was gonna kind of end up with like standing down. You know, we never were gonna get to see like what a fucking dragon could really do. And now it's like, that's a dragon.
I think that I thought that Drogon was doing like, you know, whenever when you're mowing the lawn sometimes and you'll make a pattern.
Yes.
Drogon took a pattern in the building, so as he was burning, he was like, I'm like a figure eight.
You know what? You say he's etching his name into King's Landing?
Yes,
he was. Drogon was here.
Standing with his dragon fire.
He was so precise. Like, he was on some MapQuest shit. He was just like, in a left on 3rd Street, because I never liked that salon. Like, he was getting everybody. And then, like, after this, the soldiers was like, oh, so we riding. And Grey Worm, you could see the anger because they killed his baby, you know? And see, this is another reason that I was with Danny on this, okay? This was done in the name of Missandei, okay? She said Dracarys, and when she said it, I believed her, and I said, yeah, fuck this place. That was the last chance y'all got. And I've never thought we would ever see this, but we had a white woman ally that really did the most in the name of this black woman. I just never seen it on TV before. Normally, they pull up a little short, they go, we just a difference of opinion, and she was like, y'all killed my boo. Fuck everybody. Everyone gotta die. The kids too, the women, the children, everybody dying. And so Grey Worm said, yes, everybody dying. And he threw a fucking spear through a dude. And everybody was like, oh, pick your swords back up. And it was like too late. And Grey Worm was out there catching more bodies than Wilt. He was catching more bodies than Wilt Chamberlain at Freaknik. It was crazy.
And John should have known he was going to lose that battle. Because John was like, they unarmed. He was like, fuck this.
Yeah, John was like me on Facebook trying to get two friends to stop fighting. I'm like, we need some nuance,
and we need
to have a discussion.
Everybody go to timeout.
We can all have a conversation if we come together. And it was like, Nicholas Ward, kill. And then they started attacking him, and he started having to defend himself. And Grey Worm did look back at him like, am I doing the wrong thing? But once that dude attacked John and John couldn't focus, he was like, nah, I'm doing the right thing. Kill everybody. And they just start killing all the soldiers. And they was going through them like just a knife through fucking melted butter.
And it was the only amount of sadness I had for the Lannister soldiers is that they had just dropped their swords.
Right.
So it's like, y'all really coming at me. Like, at least give me 2 seconds to pick up my swords. It's a fair fight.
So
like,
dirty.
Me.
Like, oh no, ooh. There's no fair fight in war, man.
Right.
I mean, fuck that.
And John don't.
You're a soldier. You signed up for this.
And John don't come from this. He never sacked the city before. He always been on like the defending side, the right side of a battle. That's just like, we need to protect this house. This nigga never been like, he's like, oh, what are y'all doing? Are y'all?
Oh no.
Are y'all stabbing them? They were just ready to quit. And
he was looking like, y'all didn't hear the bells?
Bro, they was killing them motherfuckers. So they killed all of them. And then after Danny got done with killing some more soldiers that had, you know, swords that had quit and shit, it was, she was like, actually, you know what, I'm about to burn up some people too. Yeah. And then she started burning up people, like attacking everything. She was attacking everything, like mad Game of Thrones fans on Twitter. Like, she was
burning everything down.
Her Drogan was like, y'all ruined the show. They was just like killing everything, blowing up all the buildings. And then Jamie finally found an entrance to the castle in the background, but not in time to get all the way up in there, because you know our homie had to show up out of nowhere.
Come on.
Yes, is Mr. Wait Till You See My Dick himself, Euron, coming out of the water like, oh, Jaime Lannister, you thought you wasn't gonna see me? Oh no, baby, I came to slay. And I was like, I knew this nigga didn't die when he jumped off that water, out that boat. I knew he didn't die.
Oh yeah, you knew that.
Yeah,
they did that same move with the camera, like with Tyrion, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm coming to kill you. Oh no, fake out, you're alive.
Yep.
Nigga. But you could continue, but just first and foremost, fuck Euron.
Yeah, he's trash.
Yes, he's trash.
I mean, now keep in mind, he's trash, but he's one of my favorite characters because he brings excitement to the show.
He's so over the top.
Because he's like a wrestler guy on the show. Like,
he's such a stunt queen is what he is.
Yes, he is a stunt queen.
And he don't even dress like the rest of the characters. He dressed like a regular nigga. Like, he got just like regular pants and a shirt. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? But I love the element of just scumbaggery he brings to the show, because it's just nothing but comedy.
So you liked this fight with him and Jamie? What was the point?
I needed to see Euron die, honestly. I couldn't have Euron out here living for the rest of the series.
That's fine, but did we have to watch that? Like,
yeah,
did we
I wanted to see
that fight.
Because you forgot my other agenda already, Tati. I want to see Jamie Lannister die. So I was rooting for Euron. I noticed the timeline was rooting for Jamie for some weird fucking reason, but
everyone hates Euron more.
Yeah, I don't care. I hate Jamie more. He tried to kill a kid. Like, at least Euron ain't never tried to kill no
kid. He pushed the kid out the window.
Right. He didn't cripple Bran. So, as far as I'm concerned, Jamie got one up on his ass. I think we lost Portia. Hopefully she can refresh.
Is she refreshing?
But yeah, so then Euron comes out of the water and he like, oh, Jamie, I know you ain't think you wasn't gonna see me, homie. Let me tell you something about yourself, player. You are the Kingslayer and I'm the king. So I guess you're gonna try to kill another king. And then Euron was like, Jamie was like, you ain't no motherfucking king. He was like, I'm the king and I fucked your girl.
I don't understand how you could like Euron. Like I said, he's a stunt queen and he will do anything for clout. Like, what? Like, who cares? Like, I want to be the one to tell, I'm going to be the one that killed Jamie. Like, oh, nigga, don't nobody care because ain't nobody going to know. You going to burn with the rest of them.
That's what make him good TV, dog. Like, everything.
A pointless ass fight.
Like, they write, like, there's very few characters on TV as hateable as him as entertaining. He is inter-fucking-taining. And it was so good because he's such a distraction from the main storyline. It hasn't, like,
has nothing to do.
Jamie trying to get the
certain, like, distraction for sure.
Yes. And Jamie just looked up at this nigga like, he looked up at this nigga like, oh, come on, man. You? Like, I'm just trying to go, come on, man. Like, it's other shit. Dragons is attacking. Do we need to do this right now? Go on,
so he is annoying. That's what he is. Yes. He's annoying.
Yes.
He's not entertaining. He's annoying.
Oh, well, I like it. So then, like, sometimes you need an annoying character. So then, Jamie and him fight the fair one. And Jamie was just swinging around that sword because, you know, he ain't good with the other hand and shit. And so, I was rooting for Euron. I said, kill this nigga, man. Kill him. I don't want him to even get to Cersei.
I didn't want, and it's not like because I like Jaime. I just didn't see the point of Euron even interfering like that until, like, why bother? Euron, you're not even on this level. You are beneath. Why are you here, my guy? Like, I, again, not rooting for Jaime so much, but it's just like, I really didn't want him to be killed by that nigga.
I feel like you just bought into the myth that some of these people are good. None of them are good. So for me, it's just another level of trash. I'm okay with this trash taking out that trash.
People are good.
Yeah, this is trash on trash balance.
Yeah, we made that distinction on our show many times, and I personally said it, and everyone else said it. There's nobody in the show that's good. Everybody got some dirt under them. Yeah. Maybe Missandei, but she dead now.
All of, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, all, look, Missandei was still working for a conqueror. So like, it is what
she's
it is.
She's still working for a colonizer, you right.
Yeah, she's still working for it. So like, look, my man showed up and I'm so glad because I was scared we weren't going to see him again. And it was just going to be like, he went into the sea and swam away. And they fight the fair one, and meanwhile the Hound and Arya go to the keep and they looking at the chaos, and the Hound realized that the motherfucking castle about to collapse, and he turns to Arya and he's like, listen, this is now scared straight. I went through this so you don't have to go through this, okay? Look at my face. This is what revenge did to me. I'm out here trying to kill this nigga. I don't care if I die. You don't have to be like me. You can still survive. And Arya's like, yeah, I'm gonna still kill Cersei, so fuck that. And he's like, no, for real, look at me, your hair's uneven, you know, you're just
shape of fucked up,
right? Like, don't just go back home, okay? Like, he did, it was the closest the Hound's ever been to saying I love you,
right?
Like, he even touched her face at a point, and I do have a soft spot for the Hound and Arya as a duo. Like,
yeah, no, as a duo, they're great.
Yeah, yeah, I do situation. Yeah, I do have a little bit. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like a almost like he took her under his wing almost when her father died and shit. So mm-hmm. like him saying that was kind of his own, that's the closest he's ever gonna be like, I love you, I can't let you die here. And so she was like, rumble at the ceiling, and was like, all right then, fuck it, all right, you have a good one, man. And if you kill Cersei, kill her.
And you know what, it was real love. She called him by his real name. I was like, who is that? Oh, that's the Hound.
Yeah so he
Rod, can you add a Portia back? She's back.
Oh, okay, so she is back. Okay, cool, hold on 1 second. I was looking for her. 1 second, Portia, I got you. Sometimes it'll do that, kick somebody out for accident. Oh, it says accepted and reconnected. Okay, I'll still send you another request. Let mm-hmm. me refresh and Portia. Do. All right, there she is. Adding her now. So just added you.
I did like that exchange between the Hound and Arya, and it was necessary because I mean, we go right into like this game bowl. I like that everyone just said it immediately. Was that like already predetermined that was the hashtag?
Yes. Oh my God. And
I don't even know where they got the name from.
Like, I get, like, right. I said, I get the complaints, but I low key, I just had like a checklist of shit, and Clegane Bowl was on my checklist of shit. And I was just like, okay, just give me my motherfucking Clegane Bowl though. Like, don't, no swerve on this one. No. Oh, and he just barely missed him or some shit. We'll see you next week. Nope. It's time to fucking throw down. So, you know, he tells Arya, you know, like, come on, boo, don't die like me, because I'm dying for sure. And I do have an agenda of wanting to see Arya live, you know. So I was like, okay, if this will keep Arya alive, I will allow her to, you know, she's moved on from other people on the list, the Hound's on the list. So if she thinks Cersei's gonna die and this will keep her alive next week, cool. So the Hound is like, all right, be easy, and I'm about to dip out or whatever. That's when Cersei and her entourage go down the collapsing building as it falls on top of them down the stairs, and the mountain is so fucking strong, concrete blocks mm-hmm. fell on him that crushed regular men, and he was just knocking them off like fleet, like, get off me, dog, I'm good. And him, Qyburn, and like four other niggas survived, but like six of them niggas just got smushed by the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the rocks and debris clear, you can see out, this is so beautiful, you can see out of the fucking like ceiling, cause it was gone.
It was a beautiful
you
shot.
Could see mm-hmm. the sky, and then the Hound was down there, and the Hound.
The fire shot.
Yes.
Absolutely fire.
And the Hound, mm-hmm. like the Hound, like,
gorgeous.
First they sent the red shirts, like, get them. And then the Hound, the Hound dispatched them niggas so quick, it was like, chop, chop, chop. All right. So now it's me, the Hound, Cersei, and Qyburn, right? And so the Clegane was like looking up there like, come on, come get you some. And the Mountain went to go get some. And then, Cersei was like, hold up, player, don't leave yet. I need some defense. So stay with me. And the Mountain was like, yeah, fuck that, I'm gonna go kill this nigga. And then Qyburn was like, you heard what she said, you need to stop that. And my man,
he flicked him
into the concrete wall, cracking the back of his skull, and then his skull cracked again when he hit the ground. And I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life. That's exactly how Qyburn should die.
Right. I was shocked as hell. Cause I was like, what is finna happen? And then when he tossed that nigga like a sack of potatoes and that head split open, boy.
Yo, I absolutely loved
what?
It. Like, he died like such a henchman, right? And so then Cersei was like,
yes,
church finger, before you niggas start fighting,
can I be just, excused?
Excuse me,
pardon me, I gotta go to the bathroom.
On your left. Like, she,
I'm just trying to get behind. I'm not gonna get in the middle. I'm just gonna go around the side. Just
yes.
And you know what was so funny was when the hound first showed up, he said, "Your Majesty." And so I don't know if she got scared, like, is he coming from me?
Dog. And when she walked past him, it's this part where you can see her looking at his face. And his eyes never stopped looking at the mountain. Like, he was like, it's like Cersei wasn't even there to him. And then that's when we got officially the Clegane Bowl. Like, pregame was over. The samurai sang the national anthem. And it was time to go. And that's when you get the beautiful shot from behind the hound up into the sky, and you see the fucking Drogon fly through.
Still spelling his name.
Yeah, still shooting. He was still roasting niggas like Jamie Foxx at that Emmitt Smith roast. He was still going. And then it's just Clegane standing there against Clegane. And all, I was ready to go. I was like, who want the smoke? And the mountain wasn't scared. He was like, I want the smoke, nigga. And they start going. And the mountain was so dope with it. This motherfucker was getting hit with a sword and he was blocking it with his hand. His hand. What the fuck? Like, the hound is not a weak dude. We watched him cleave niggas in half with an axe. He got hit with a sword and was like, this little toothpick, bro, what you doing?
Here's the thing. Like, we've been telling Thor, why aren't you not going for the head, my guy? Go for the head. This is this big guy that got all this muscle and all this chunk.
Right.
Go for the head. Now, that obviously he did, and that didn't right. quite do it. But
right. But
still.
But start with the head, right? Like, work
this
your way down.
This is your first move.
So he like I said, he hits the nigga on the shoulder pads and hand. This nigga grabbed the sword, looked at him like, this is all you got. And then finally he like knocked his helmet off and you could finally see his face for the first time, and it was fucked
right.
up.
Right. And the thing
nigga is, looking like Darth Vader, okay?
Yes. Come on. And the thing is, he died and came back. So he probably halfway not human. Mm-hmm. And then he was out here like Terminator 2. I was like, oh my gosh, is he going to die? Like, no matter what he tried, he was like, not gonna work.
Meanwhile,
it wasn't gonna work.
Meanwhile, Jaime reunites with Cersei at the bottom of the stairs, and he's bleeding because he fought Euron.
Right.
And Euron, he killed Euron, but not after Euron stabbed this nigga like twice through the body, real good stabs. And even afterwards, Euron was like, "You killed another king."
Jaime was walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Jaime was walking around like he had like a stomach ache. Like, he wasn't walking around like he got stabbed. He was just like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna just walk around like I'm making it right. I'm gonna take some antacids. I'll be okay."
Not understand in the moment, especially after everything that has occurred into this day of reckoning, that Cersei's just so happy to have a savior.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this the same woman that not a week ago sent out a fucking assassin on him
to kill him?
For her to be all like, "Oh, you're bleeding, bitch! You tried to kill him last
right.
week."
Right, and she let her brother live. She let Tyrion live at the wall when she had them archers at her. Like, Cersei's so all over the place with her shit, and so she was like.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't Jaime say anything? Jaime knew that she sent Bronn, because Bronn told him. So he didn't say, "Oh, hey, yeah, I'm alive. So I'm here to protect you, even though you wanted me dead. So you're welcome."
He still loved that evil woman.
Yeah, the relationship.
Yeah, like I said, clown face.
He loved that evil woman.
I swore he was going to kill her. I swore.
But y'all know what? We've never had sibling sex. So we don't understand what that does to somebody and how that fucks your mind up.
Yeah, and I don't want to know.
It was just Karen like it just hit different. Like, sibling sex just hit a little bit.
It might hit
right.
different.
It might hit different.
And
so,
I don't, right, we don't want to know. So
I don't.
Yeah, it's like the things people do for crack. I don't want to know. Y'all got it. You know what I mean? So I
don't know why he went there either, y'all.
He left a good woman in the bed to go down there and see.
Yes,
his sister.
He did.
So then she, it's like, "Jaime, oh my god, I love you." And then he's all like, "Oh, I'm bleeding, but I love you, and I'm here, and I'm gonna get you to safety. And she's like, it's not working. You know, earlier, when Carburn came to me and was like, the shit is fucked up, I was all like, we straight, the keep never been broke, but it's broke. It's looking like it's not gonna work out.
Keep crying. 53% keep fucking crying. I don't give a damn. Mm-mm.
Yeah, she was crying real good. Shout out to that actress, Lena Headey, can act, but
yeah, I love Lena.
Yeah,
but I love that she's making like a million per episode. I'm like, okay, girl. She's right. Been sipping and tipping her wine and looking out the window this whole time.
I thought it was 500,000. Somebody was spreading rumors as usual on Twitter.
Well, dream job still. I'll do it.
Yeah,
all right.
Imagine my big ass up there just sipping wine, like, where are my elephants? Quivering like, the scorpions ain't working. We just need one hit, baby.
He was like, why are you still here? And I had the same question. I said, why are you still here? You see your shit going down. And Quivering was like, I think we gotta go.
Right?
Safe here anymore.
All the scorpions are gone. Well, the iron. Like,
why was Quivering still around? I thought Quivering should have been dipped.
That,
like,
dude.
As soon as he's not gonna leave.
He's another great henchman Hall of Famer. He's a like, that dude. That dude love being a henchman.
For sure. He ain't
Yes, Starscream.
If they do another cartoon movie of the Smurfs, they have to make him Gargamel. Cause like, he is just so good at that like sniveling ass shit. He's so good.
Yes. And you look like Gargamel. He was wearing the same Gargamel robes too.
Right. Oh my queen.
Oh shit.
He the best, y'all. So he'd
be the best. And to talk about what Roger was talking about, when before she left, she was like, my people will. They'll defend and they'll fight me. Mm. I thought the same people that threw shit on you when you was walking, talking about shame. Right. Same people.
That was all she had at this point, was her delusion. Now, to her credit, the reason she's so delusional is because she ain't seen shit. Like, she's seen even less than Sansa. But it don't feel that way because she's been in the game the longest. But if you think about it, like,
she's never been on a war.
She's seen
She's never been in a battle scene. Whenever they were under siege for the Battle of Blackwater, she was in the, in the fold. She didn't see nothing that happened out there.
Yep. They had They had to ship a White Walker to her. You see what I'm saying? Like, she not from this. This not her life. So she was up in there thinking like, we always win. You haven't seen. Like, remember when Brian came back, was like, I seen a fucking dragon, that woman's gonna win. And like, she was like, oh, I killed my brother with a crossbow, it's yada yada yada. So anyway,
and you know what, and this goes back to what her daddy told her seasons ago,
as smart as you think.
Right, he kept telling her that the whole time. He was like, you're not that smart, you don't plan shit out, you run with emotions, you very vindictive, and there's nothing, you know. He was like, look, I'm the king of vindictive. But what I do have is plans.
Right. She brought the motherfucking High Sparrow in the motherfucking town and let this nigga kidnap her and shit. Like, she's not as brilliant as she thinks she is. Mm-mm. So she been real lucky. And then Jamie was finally here, like, the Uber is here, we have to go. And so, you have the Hound go back to him fighting the mountain. He stabs him through the stomach with his sword and it didn't do shit. Like, the mountain literally like smacked his ass, pulled the sword out, and then went downstairs and started smushing him out, slamming him up against the wall and shit. And then finally the Hound pulls out a little knife out of nowhere and just starts shaking this nigga. And he was shaking his arms, he was shaking his neck, he was like going to fucking, he was
trying.
Yes, it was like Chad's dad in the Mad Real World, where he was just like, stab. And then finally his brother took his face. The mountain took his face.
Like, to the Oberyn.
That's what I was thinking. Oberyn. I was like, oh my gosh, he's gonna kill him like Oberyn?
Yes, he was going.
I was closing my eyes because I could not do that again. I just can't.
Oh my god, it's so intense.
My favorite thing about favorite meme from the internet about how much the Hound was trying to get at the mountain was like, playing Pokemon or whatever, and you play something and you're like, it was ineffective. And he's like,
it was very ineffective.
And so, as this nigga is smushing his eyes in, the Hound flails like one last time and luckily stabs him straight through the eye into his brain. And that just.
And nothing happened.
He made him drop him.
Yeah.
But then this nigga stood there and was like,
and took it out.
Wait till I take this knife out my head. And I said, oh God, he can't even die like a zombie. What the fuck? What the fuck? Cause up until that point, I thought the Hound was getting out of there. And I said, no, nope, you about to die, homeboy. And I think the hound thought that shit too, cause he said, you know what, then fuck it, we both die. And he tackled this nigga through the wall, and they died in the fiery pits of the keep at the bottom of the shit. And I said, that's mean, that's when you really, really want to kill a nigga. Cause
yeah, you was like, we both gonna die.
He meant that shit. When he said, I'm not coming back, I was kind of like, well, maybe they'll write something and we'll get the hound. No. He no. was like, fuck it, as long as you die too. And I'm assuming the mountain's dead.
Me too.
And he realized this fucking toothpick stabs wasn't doing shit to him anyway. There's only one. He was like, I got to take him out myself. But he had a kamikaze. He knew that was at the end of the day, that was the only thing he could do.
Yep. So,
I feel like the songs to do that. He was like, when I move, you move. And Matt was like, just like that? Like, he was
like, right. Just like that. And so the Clegane Bowl ends in a tie. Okay.
Right. 1-1.
1-1. And so then, outside, of course, John is telling everybody to fall back because Danny's just indiscriminately burning everything.
And don't even care about them.
Like, she had.
She was like Thanos in that bitch.
Where are your people?
She was like Thanos in that bitch. It's like, I was like, ain't your troops down there?
Yo, Thanos,
I don't care. Bring the rain.
Thanos was in the side. Like, Thanos was like, I even let half live. I mean, damn. Like, all of them, Danny. Like, this is kind of cruel. And then
they didn't give a fuck at the end. He was like, get this bitch off me.
Yes. And at one point, they cut to Danny, and she actually had a piece of paper in her hand, and it was the recipe for how to make King's Landing casserole, and it was bake everything at 400 degrees for 45 minutes, and she was almost done. So then Arya wakes up, she wakes up, and she is like been knocked out by all these explosions, so she wakes up covered by ash. It looked like Tariq Nasheed's comment section in there, and gets up, and she finds a group of people that's hiding. She's like, y'all need to come with me. And that mom and that little girl that didn't get in the keep was in that group. And she's like, y'all gonna die if y'all stay here. And I'm like,
well, you know, that scene for me actually recalled scenes of 9/11 for me.
Ooh.
Because I mean, I'm from New York, so that's a very visceral thing to see. So obviously not everything's trying to be a callback to that, that was the first thing I thought of because of her, the slow motion moving through the ashes, seeing the bodies, buildings crumble all around her. So whether or not that was purposeful, I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's how I felt. So I was actually taken aback a little bit by that. I was like, oh, shit.
Well, you know, that's the other thing too. I thought this was the heel turn for Danny to be like, what she was doing at this point was now terrorism. Like, that was literally the word that came to my mind, was like, Danny.
And that all comes together.
Right. And I mean, I think the show is, one of the reasons I think I love the show is because it is all about perspective, right? One person's conqueror is another person's hero. Everybody's pursuit of power taints them all. They all have to do something that was fucked up to get the power. So to me, I was like, what she just did to get this throne, you know, calling back to her vision from season 2, right? Remember when she was in, what was it, House of White or whatever? The one where she had that vision of the throne. The Undying. And remember, she had that vision of the throne, and it was like, it looked like Snow was on the throne, and everybody's like, oh, Jon Snow's gonna be the king. But now I'm like, nigga, it was Ash on the throne. Honey. You burned everything, girl. And so she's burning up, and this is like the point where I think they're like nailing it home to be like, look, this is what she's doing is not good. Even if you support fuck King's Landing, we just want you to understand that it's innocent people up in here getting fucked up, right? And so, not that I cared, but still, that was the point they were making. So then Arya's trying to save the people and shit, and so we have a long like one shot of her running through the streets, chip blowing up, Dothraki coming through fucking people up, like just everybody's getting fucked up in here.
I was laughing because I was just like, it's just funny how Arya's like, you will die if you stay here, come with me. And then you immediately get slain by that thrash.
Yes.
You keep going. You immediately get crushed by buildings. You keep going. You immediately get Pompeii'd. And it's just like, maybe I should have saved my ass inside because I was alive, Arya. Still Arya Hive. Still Arya Hive.
Yeah. She was trying to help, but it didn't help. It didn't help.
No.
I love that someone's summary of that was that Arya Stark, still the highest kill count of all the Starks.
Yeah, true. She got them people body, man. And so at one point the woman gets slashed by like a Dothraki or ran over or something, and so then
immediately
and so then the daughter is like, help my mama. So Arya tries to carry the mom. The mom is too fucked up, and so she's like, take my daughter with you. And so Arya gets ready to take the daughter with her. The daughter's like, no, I want to be with my mama, and runs back. and Arya looks up and sees Drogon is like, all right then, little girl, and runs around the corner, and Drogon fries everybody in the alley. Fries their ass up.
And you know what? And maybe this is what I got from that. It's similar to how she ran away with the Hound. Remember, cause she had wanted to stay. Yeah. And the Hound was like, if you stay, you will die. Like that was his whole point. And he forced her to leave. And she was like, if you stay, you're gonna die. And she ran back. And when she ran back, she saw her get flamed. And so this is just my prediction, cause I don't know. My prediction is that all this stuff that Arya is going through, when she get back home, she gonna be like, ooh, girl, this was happening and I'm gonna fuck her up.
We'll see. They got one episode to do all that. So if she get back home, like, that's a long travel.
Right,
she
get back home.
But
she thinks she's going back. She's probably gonna make her try before they get back to Winterfell.
Yeah.
Danny's going back to Winterfell. They're probably going to Dragonstone.
Yeah, we almost done. We'll get to that, the predictions at the end. But
yeah,
this, I will admit, okay, I'm not a big Varys fan, okay? I know a lot of people love him. I'm not a big fan.
Varys, you said?
Yeah, I'm not a big Varys fan. But this was the time in the episode when I went, Varys had some good points.
oh, now Varys.
It took this long. It took this long.
I don't necessarily agree with how you're doing things, but you make a good point. So.
Yeah, it took this long. I won't lie. Like, it was right when that little girl got fried, and I went, okay, I'll see what Varys is saying. It's gonna be a pretty hard PR spin off of this one, buddy. So, Jamie,
you ain't gonna be able to fix this. You can't pay nobody enough money to clean this up.
So, Jamie and Cersei get to the bottom of the keep, but the tunnel is blocked off. And this, of course, I laughed.
Yes.
Listen, I know. You know what? I'll get to it in a second. But I laughed as soon as that tunnel was blocked. I said,
"Y'all about to die."
I was like that video of the nigga that getting in the car laughing. Like, I was like, I love when the show does shit like that, where they leave hope, where they're like, yo, they might get away because it's a secret tunnel, and you're like, damn,
all
these niggas
pissed if they got away,
right? I'm like, these niggas finna get away after all this? Like, they gonna wait?
I think the thing that made me saltiest about that was that Tyrion told Jaime about it, and Varys is the one who told Tyrion about it in the first place. So I was like, you killed Varys and then told your stank effing brother to save your stank effing sister. This only way you lived because Varys saved you. That isn't the most shifty Lannister thing I've ever seen in my life.
The worst.
And when they saw the tunnel was blocked, I was like, and that is Varys' vengeance coming right down.
Yep. So then,
I deserve it.
So you broke up a little bit the last sentence. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was like, that was Varys' vengeance. House Lannister deserves it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so then Cersei finally broke. Like, she had been in denial the whole fucking time. We gonna win. It's gonna be a way out. I just got faith. And then she started looking at Jaime like, I don't want our baby to die. I want our baby to live.
Y'all still believe she pregnant? She ain't pregnant.
I don't think she
ain't no baby.
There's no reason to lie at that point. It's over. Like, she got to die. So I think she really was pregnant. I think she was pregnant in the states of Georgia and Alabama. Okay.
Oh no.
Other places, I don't know that she had that baby long enough to be considered pregnant other places, but she was definitely pregnant in Republican states. So she was like, listen, I want our baby to live. And Jamie, I don't want to die. Jamie, don't let me die. And then Jamie hugged her and he was like, girl, it's going to be all right. Look me in my face. And she was like, what? No, we're going to die. And he was like, look at me. And she was like, not like this. And I was crying laughing because I was like, yes, like this. Exactly like this.
So you were satisfied with that death? Because I just didn't think it was savage enough. I didn't like the fact that she died in the arms of her lover. Scared to death or not, I don't give a damn. You died in fear and solace. So, yeah, great dichotomy. But what I would have loved to see, and again, this goes back to what you said before about people maybe being mad about things doesn't happen their way. I would have loved to see it if Daenerys looked dead at that tower and was like, I'm coming for you, nigga, and then went and cooked that bitch in the tower multiple times.
That'd have been a good death.
I would have loved to see that.
I would have been straight with that. I'm not gonna front.
I would love to see that. Yeah. And when I say cook, you know the 50 minutes she took cooking King's Landing? Yeah. She would still did that. But I would love 10 minutes of that being just for Cersei.
I'm not knocking that. That's totally fine. I can see that. And if it would have happened that way, I would have been just as satisfied, to be frank. But I was satisfied with the poetic license of just her and her twin that shared a womb together dying in the womb of the castle that was collapsing around her as her fucking denial just fucking broke. I liked it. Like, this was, she was so sad, and I think it's all because Lena did a good job being sad, that I was like, yeah, you never thought this shit was gonna happen. And when he was holding her and they fucking died together, it was also a 2-for-1, because why? I hate Jamie Lannister. So for me, I'm like, good. 2-for-fucking-1. Agenda complete. And I checked it off my list of things I wanted from the show, because I only wanted certain things from the show. So I was cool with just the fact that they were dying, even if it was together or whatever, just both of them died in the same episode. I've watched it 3 times. I love that. And I watched that scene more than once when I rewatch it too, because I just love the fact that they both died. But I feel you though. It's crazy.
He should have died a fiery death for 20 minutes.
It's so crazy.
Barbecue.
It's so crazy too how at once people were like, I was shocked and appalled at the savageness that Daenerys had. This was too much. She can't be a hero.
What?
And at the same time, I wanted her to let the dragon eat Cersei's brain and then fry her in face for a little bit. Then eat the baby. I wanted her to eat the pregnant baby. I'm like, damn, y'all, whoop. But the show has turned us into some other people, y'all. The show done made us a little, we've all gotten a little savage now because of this damn show.
I think it's funny that Tyrion kept making it a point of saying that, like, there were millions of people in King's Landing, and yeah. I was still hyped. I was like, and they can all die.
Yeah, I'm
all
not.
Of them.
I accept that I am.
Millions yes. can die. Genocide. I appreciate it. I would like to see it.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know what? That does sound pretty awful, Portia. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, you know.
I accept that.
Ready to go.
I accept that the show has made me a horrible person. You know, like, I embraced that the show made, I wasn't always like this. You know what I'm saying? The show brought me to this. Before this, I had a normal moral compass of like, oh man, that's sad that, you know, now I'm just like, why didn't they just like let the dragon like eat one of her legs and then let her live and then eat her next leg? Like, I'm like, damn, something is wrong with me. But it was a beautiful, poetic death.
Yeah. You turn it to Ramsay, basically.
Yeah.
Right, right. And my thing is, similar to Tatiana, I would have liked for James, even he was in love, but I would have liked for him to actually been on a mission to actually cure her like I thought he was. Fuck her up, and then he tried to escape, and he got crumbled.
Also, you got to remember, at
he
this,
still got to die at the end of the day.
Right.
Also, at this point, you need to remember that I was livid, okay? Livid with the fact that Jamie was even still walking around with them fucking stabs in his body. I'm like, how you ain't died? 45, you took 2 flights of stairs, my nigga. You should be dead.
Rod, it's the same way.
It should just be pulling around you.
Rod, like, it's the same way you're nigga, you're
Rod. It's like, look at his body should be falling apart.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Rod, it's the same way your nigga, Euron made it. How?
Yeah.
He just did.
Like, at least when Euron got stabbed in the stomach, he had the decency to be like, well, I'm dead. Like, at least he's, like, at least Jamie is so fucking annoying because he's like, no, I can make it. If I can make it out of that water in a suit of armor and pop up an episode later like nothing happened, then I know I can make it with stab wounds. I'm like, dog, you not Beric. Get the fuck out of here with this anime-ass death.
The Lord of Life did not bring you back.
Yeah, this nigga had an anime death, man. Anyway, good riddance. Good riddance to both of them. And then finally, Dany is finally done doing her best, like, her best General Sherman impression, and she's like, I think I burned everything. And like I said, once again, I would like to thank Dany right here sincerely for being an ally to black women. I know that apparently this week I found out I'm one of the few people that really does root for black women and really is an ally and wants to see people avenged, because people were like, not Dany, and I was like, them niggas deserve to burn. Mm-hmm. They fucked with Masani.
They burned her girl up.
We lost half the black people on the show in one episode.
Come on, her hair fucked up, her makeup fucked up.
This is an aside. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to start another argument, but Masani didn't need to die, but you know, whatever.
She alive?
I said she didn't need to die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree.
I agree.
Oh, no, my nigga. Yeah. I agree.
As in terms of writing decisions?
Yeah. She didn't need to die.
I agree.
And also, I blame Tyrion for her dying. I'll take it that much level. Cause he still be trying to talk to his sister. Don't talk to her. She crazy.
Okay, Percy.
Right. We'll meet with her. No, Nick, you could have had a secret Arya mission to save your boo for a Grey Worm. And instead, this nigga up here like, we talk to her one more time. Like, she probably let her go. No, she won't. She never gonna let her go.
if Tyrion had the thought to tell his brother Jaime to use the underground tunnels to escape and do all this shit, why didn't they use that same tactic to either get into kids? Like that's what I mean when I say it's just some shit that don't be making.
Oh, it makes. Right. Oh, I mean, now for right. me,
it, why wouldn't you use that makes, same information right. for a different way?
The thing is, it makes sense if you fucking love your sister and your brother. That's because that's the only thing he care about. I don't
but
fuck
you don't
with
love
him.
Your queen. You don't love
no.
Your queen?
He don't. He's scared of her.
You don't love her.
Sansa told y'all the truth last okay. week. Sansa said what? He's scared of her. He don't love her.
Yeah.
This nigga's scared.
Right. And you wouldn't tell her material information like that. Like, yo, there's right. a secret way to get into King's Landing that you could come in. And just like you did Euron, you can ambush them niggas. How about that?
The only thing stronger than his fear of Dany is his love of his family, his whack ass family.
But also, why didn't, like, everyone knows, like, Tyrion had to tell Dany, he had to tell Jon and them. How he ended up in Danny's fold in the first place. And so that means he had to have shared. There's a secret tunnel in and out of freaking King's Landing.
Yeah.
Why wasn't that part of anybody's battle strategy? Why wasn't that part of Danny's or John? Somebody should have had that, like, you know what? Tell me about the secret tunnel you came in, came out of that one time.
Yep.
That one time. Well, like I said, whatever the characters do, what the characters do, I just did not, as from a writing decision standpoint.
If we're gonna,
they didn't kill her.
Well, hold on, if we're gonna be honest though, I just want to clarify because there is an answer to this one. The Iron Fleet was guarding that from the outside. Cause remember, Jaime was like, even if we get out the tunnel, how the fuck we gonna get away? Cause the Iron Fleet's gonna be there. So they would have had to destroy the Iron Fleet and then get in the tunnel somehow.
And it was destroyed.
Yeah.
But we saw that happen, so.
Yeah, that would have had to, but I'm just saying, that's what the mission would have had to be. So if you're talking about just to save Missandei, the element of surprise is gone once you destroy the Iron Fleet, right? So it's not like, like you'd have to basically do, two missions at once, you know? Not that they're incapable of that.
Right. Or get Bronn to do
it. If you're gonna infiltrate King's Landing to like, if Tyrion was really about some innocence in the King's Landing, let's just take out Cersei. Mm-hmm. Why not just take an infiltration mission to take out Cersei?
Oh yeah, cause Tyrion's not about that.
He's not about that.
Yeah, he'd
rather
save her.
He's irrational.
But why didn't someone else, that's what I'm saying, someone else who knew about it was like, okay, you're right, Tyrion. Mm-hmm. There are innocents. So let's use that tunnel you told us about.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know who could have snuck in there? Bronn, because that nigga could get into anything.
Bronn said he ain't risking his life for y'all.
Anything.
Bronn ain't risking his life for nobody but this money. He was out here like, are you crazy? That's y'all war. Let me know when it's done.
And you know what?
Arya and the Hound should have had that. The Hound would have been like, I'm going for the mountain because he's going to be the last person standing with Cersei. And Arya's like, I've been ready to kill her anyway. Let's just go. And then that should have been the path they took.
Yeah, they wasn't with Varys and Tyrion though. So they don't know about the tunnel. I mean, it could have worked, but like, it would have took some like, if they would have not been loners and shit like that, it could have worked. Yeah,
they had to talk to each other.
Yeah, and they loners. They loners. They don't fuck with nobody else. Like Hound and Arya be like, we just gonna shit. They almost did it. Like they was like, we just gonna walk in the front door. Like they some bad motherfuckers. All right, we're almost at the end. So then, anyways, like I said, shout out to Dany for caring about black women. Also, rest in peace to Lady Unella and Ilaria. They finally know peace because I know they dead now. That whole keep collapsed. So. Arya
gets, they was in there, to be honest with you.
You thought what?
I forgot they was in there.
Yeah, a lot of people did. And that's why I wanted to point out, that's why I'm sure Missandei could still be alive. Cause
her head came off.
Her head came off, yeah.
No. If they never had the meeting, Missandei would be locked up in some basement somewhere because Cersei will keep a hostage. Like I kill niggas for no reason. She's like a, one day, I will kill this motherfucker, but I'm gonna wait for the proper poetic license. And now she's dead cause, Tyrion gave it to her. So yeah, she could have been there with Unella and Ilaria alive, but they dead now. And so now Arya survives the ashes, sees a single white horse, hops on it among the rubble, and then she rides off. And that's the end. Where y'all think Arya going?
To hell, because she got on the death horse, a pale white horse
that was covered in blood,
in ashes. Mm-hmm. Niggas was pompeyed around her, like, mm-hmm. come on, like, let's is the imagery strong enough? Let's throw some more into it. And
maybe
she's going
Arya's
back
dead.
To the white ass north.
they should go to the mom.
Maybe Zarya's dead, and that was her vision of heaven. The horse was her vision of heaven, and that was just, she's actually dead right now. She's the ghost.
Okay. All right, Karen, where do you think she's going?
To her sister.
Back to Sansa. Mm-hmm. She, now I can't tell because she had a look on her face that looked like Danny Glover in, the Lethal Weapon movies. Like, I'm getting too old for this shit and I'm like, I'm out. But low key, like, I think she's surviving that chaos. I also wouldn't be surprised if the swerve was she's like, I'm going to find a way to kill Daenerys.
Mm-hmm. She still hasn't.
She still hasn't killed Green Eyes, right? It's the blue eyes and whatever eyes, but she still hasn't got them green eyes.
Brown eyes.
Yeah.
He has green eyes.
Yes. We saw it last, when they closed up on Dany's face when she was mad walking away from, after Missandei got killed.
Mm-hmm.
They closed up on her face so we could finally see the color of her eyes. And I was like, swerve. Mm-hmm. You know, and now that Cersei didn't get killed by her, maybe that's the swerve. Cause like, listen, I love Dany. I swear to God, I love her. If she was real in real life, that would be my motherfucking president because she only killed white people, so I'm cool with it. But she gotta go. Like, this was a step beyond, dog. Like, this, like, I can see why people would feel in the kingdom and the other people that are around her would be like, yeah, that was too much. So, like, you can't rule.
Imagine you were a King's Landing there, whatever they call these people. Mm-hmm. Imagine you was one of the people, and regardless of the fact that we don't give a fuck about them,
right.
Just imagine that's you. Right. You in there minding your damn.
Right.
They close, not only do your queen close the gates on your ass, so leaves you outside.
Right.
The other queen comes flying in out of nowhere on a fucking dragon. Terrorism reigns for 50 minutes, and then if you didn't get killed by that, you got killed by a falling building. Like I said, if you didn't get killed by that, it was the Thraki or some other shit.
Yeah.
So imagine all that shit is you.
Yep. Oh my God.
Like, come on, you would feel some type of, so I understood people who were just like, she took it a step too far.
Yeah.
I understood what you said, that it was all just, as D&D had said on the after show, they were like, oh, she took it personal. I mean, the whole thing was personal, but anyway, I understood a lot of different points from that.
Yeah. I mean, the Lannisters and Baratheons did hunt her whole life as a kid. And, like, I get why she would not want to let it go. I understand being petty. You know what I'm saying? It happens. She did happen to have a dragon. And, you know what I'm saying? Things got out of hand. But next week is going to be hard
out
to
fuck.
It got a little out of hand.
That's a lightweight way to put it. Oh,
you know,
I'm
a master of understatement. So it got a little out of hand. And I feel like
she sacked an entire city of millions of people.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes, you know, you make mistakes, right? But I do feel like,
mistakes, bro.
I do feel like, and I did say it on Twitter. I actually upped the tweet when everybody was hot. Cause I only watched the show and I let the show inform me what I think is gonna happen. I was like, this is 2 weeks ago. I was like, you know, after week four, it would actually be kind of dope if Dany sacked the city in week five, and then week six is everybody being like, yeah, so we can't let her be on the throne, right? like that was a little extra, right? Like killing everybody, that was too much.
She did go a little too far.
So yeah, and I think my favorite image is just the idea of Sansa laying in bed or sitting at a table or something next to Brienne being like, I told you I didn't like that motherfucker. I told you, girl.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they would feel any differently if she had, like, burnt half the city and went straight for Cersei? Like, would they treat her any differently, or would they still be like, well, you burned half the city, so you just can't be trusted?
They probably still fear her as a colonizer, as an invader.
Right.
But they would also be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, she wouldn't be, I mean, she said with Talena years ago, I don't want to be queen of the ashes, but yet here you are.
One of the beautiful things about this show that I love is that if she would have done it that way and left people alive, they still be mad. Like, cause she's
done. That's what I'm saying. They still be mad at her.
Yeah, they still be mad. Like, I don't think there's any solution where they weren't going to be mad at her sacking that city.
They're going to still call her crazy regardless.
Yeah.
They're going to compare her regardless.
Right.
These people are petty as hell, and they're going to be mad at everything. You saw that, as y'all said, she was throwing shit at, they were throwing shit at Cersei one minute, and the next minute they like, queen, let us in. So, you know.
And they're like, I mean, in that way, Westeros is like the Game of Thrones fan base, right? Like, there's gonna be hell to pay from somebody within the fan base no matter what decisions you make.
Right.
And so her, like, even though she got the ultimate goal of getting the throne, and I'm glad she had the wherewithal to avenge my girl, But yeah, it's a price to pay for that. The rest of the fucking kingdoms are gonna be like, really, dog? Like, you couldn't have done that embargo idea. You couldn't have, like you said, tried to do something surreptitiously to get to this moment.
Negotiation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you went ham and burned the extra half of the city just for the fucking statement of it. Like, you know, she kind of has lost the goodwill of a lot of people, even, you know, if she had it. So she only has fear, which was her point, but niggas is gonna try mm-hmm. to kill her now. So, lowest of keys, I would actually be okay if they said we want to get her off the throne and then she killed everybody and still got the throne. Like, it was like,
yep.
Yeah, I got a dragon.
I feel like my main thing is I don't want Drogon to die.
Yeah.
Daenerys can go. Anyone can go. If Drogon dies, I'm going to be pissed. So pissed.
Yeah.
I want Drogon to do what Drogon did, like, in season 4 or whatever, and just fly the everyone at this whole place. I'm gonna just fly around murking whatever animals or people like to like murking, and they're never gonna catch me. They can't catch me sleeping. I'm out.
I agree with
if you. They kill him like they did Rob's freaking direwolf, like they did at the Red Wedding, I'm gonna be so pissed.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Portia. I turn into PETA when it comes to like, dragons. I like let them dragons free. Let them do what the fuck they need to do. And I don't, every time she lost someone, I was like, you see, motherfucker, get the dragons away from that woman.
Get your babies out the street.
Why ain't you watching your kids?
Get your babies out the street, right. Girl. Yeah, I will say this though, to be in full transparency, I'm not attached to any arc or character in that way because I just learned so long ago at the show to just not have hopes and dreams. So like, when something happens, it's not me predicting it on some like, I hope this happens. It's kind of like, yo, I could see them doing this. You know what I mean? So, you know, if they try to get her off the throne, I could see that having to be being a problem. And I could also see her like fucking them up. Like she still got a dragon, the Unsullied and the Dothraki. Like, who want this? So, we'll see. What are you guys looking forward to in the season finale? I'll start first with you, Portia.
I'm looking forward to it being over because they have worn me down. Yeah. I'm no longer the person I was at the beginning of the season. I'm so tired.
I feel you on that. Yes. We're on the same page. I think that for me, with them taking a break, I would continue to say that with them taking a break, it allowed a lot of people to catch up. And a lot of people are watching Game of Thrones. They don't even like this genre. Yeah. I really do feel like people
it's become appointment television just so you won't be left out.
Right. And yeah. So
that's a very good point.
And so for me, a lot of y'all critiques are very valid. Like, you know, I know we would talk, but a lot of y'all critiques are very valid. A lot of these people critiques are not valid. They're almost to the point of insanity. Mm-hmm. Where you're like,
yeah, there's a petition to get the season redone with new directors and writers, and it's up to
doing
like
doing too much. Just let it go, y'all.
Yeah. Like, it's
like, yes, you could be mad, but like, we don't need another season. Let's just let this shit
die. The milk has been spilled, honey. Like, it's been spilled. The contracts have completed. Like, it's over. Let's go and let people, on to the next. It's going to be prequels coming out. Maybe you'll like one of them. You know, just keep going.
So, yeah, Tati, what are you looking forward to for the finale?
Same as Portia, man. I'm ready for this shit to be done.
Me too.
I'm going to be mad no matter what. we're still gonna have a recap episode no matter what. And really, like, I'm just trying to see what the setup is gonna be for what Portia mentioned about the prequels, the sequels, or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to understand where they're gonna go with this. And, I mean, they're trying to make basically a Westeros cinematic universe. So, I'm curious to see what that's happening, but as far as this season's concerned, this iteration of Game of Thrones we're in right now, I'm just ready for the shit to be done.
I
that's a good swerve you mentioned about maybe Danny might end up killing every motherfucker on the low of the keys, but you know,
I'd be okay. I just want to say I'd be okay with it. Not saying, I mean, cause then you know Drogon probably gonna definitely be alive. She kill everybody, but you know, I'd be okay with it. I'm not saying that's what I want or whatever. Just,
right. But you know, the idea wouldn't bother me because at this point, all logic and understanding has gone out the window. And it's just a shit show to be very, regardless of how you feel about where it's going. It's a shit show across the board. There's too many motherfucking hands in the pot when it comes to all the different, you know, ideas and theories and all that stuff. I just want this shit to be done so people can move on and obsess off something else.
Okay. Karen, what about you?
I agree. I'm looking forward to it to end. And also, and like I said, this might be my thing, but I think that they either should have said season 7 part 1 and part 2, or either they should have said, let's show this all in one lump.
Yeah, I know, like logistically it was hard to film, and then there was like, I mean, it's so funny because we excellence is so funny because we take it for granted so quickly, right? Mm-hmm. like they had to film a winter season, so they had to go a place to film all that shit, and we're just like
snowy and cold,
right? Like yeah, they moved the entire production to just like cold places for 3 episodes essentially, like just to be like, this is what we're gonna do, and we're just all at home like, that's it, hurry up nigga, only 58 minutes. First of all, I heard it was supposed to be like, we're taking hour and a half movies for granted at this point. Like, an hour and a half movie, hated it, bitch, get it out of here. Like we have
out right after, because they're like, y'all gonna appreciate how much work we put into this,
right?
Yeah, that's y'all been watching these after shows with D&D, and they've been blowing you to a false sense of like they've been doing all this work. F that. We're going to go behind the scenes. You're going to see all the stuff that we did for y'all to understand how much y'all are asking of us when you're asking us for more.
And keep in mind, budget-wise, these are the most expensive television shows ever. And people are still at home like, CGI was cheap to me. I didn't see. Like, it's just, like, well, our expectations at this point are through the roof. Like, cause unlike most of y'all, I still watch CW shows. So I know the ghetto. Okay. I know what the ghetto is.
The ghetto. Yeah. I'm just going to call it.
Right.
That.
Right. Mm-hmm. Many, y'all don't know that y'all was sipping champagne and shit. Cause y'all don't visit the ghetto. So y'all are like, this champagne's a little spoiled. And I'm like, oh, they got champagne in here. So that for me, it's a totally different experience where I'm like, dragons look like dragons and shit. Cause on CW, dragons don't look like dragons. Okay.
No.
It's just funny how we've taken excellence for granted this fast. So I, low key, I won't front, I'm ready for it to end, but more so, not because of the show, I still enjoy the show, but the conversation has gotten so tiring. It's got so much.
Yeah,
like,
I think that part is
inundated for 5, 6, 7, 8 days. People being mean and snippy to each other. People coming on each other's pages when they disagree.
It's not a conversation anymore.
Yeah, and like, especially with us being a hub for it, doing these recaps, like, it's only so much of yucking my yum I can take. It's only so much of yumming somebody's yuck I want to do. You know, I don't want to tell somebody this thing they don't like, they have to like it. Like, no, you're entitled to that.
Right.
You know, so it's just, I'm ready for it to end for that, you know, but I love the show. I'm going to miss them Thrones. I might not watch those prequels with everybody. Like, I know people are going to be like, y'all should recap the prequels. I don't know. I know it's black people.
See what it's about.
Yeah, right. I think I might.
You got to see what it's about.
Not even that. I think I might just watch them on my own. Like, I don't need to make it an internet shared experience, because I enjoy things more like that when it's not the high wire act of everyone chiming in together. Because for me, like, fan bases have become so toxic in the last like 5 or 6 years, right? It's not just Game of Thrones. It's Last Jedi. It's Star Wars. It's even Marvel and DC. It's like people are starting to gather and use the same toxic tactics towards things. Like the whole petition thing, they did that with Zack Snyder. Now they're doing it with Game of Thrones. Like I know these aren't the same groups of people. It's just the same tactic. And it's like, come on, man.
Nobody likes Zack Snyder, so there's that.
Right, that's easy to do, right? But it's just, it's becoming such a negative experience. So I don't think I'm recapping anything they do before this. Like, I'll watch it, I'll support it, all that shit, but it's just a matter of like, at some point I have to tap out for my own sake. So yeah. I'll be happy to finish this next week.
It's the weirdest thing. It's like what you're saying is like a kind of like a gift and a curse, because it was like, I love how much the memes, I love how much conversation
was
generated.
That's the fun part.
This whole season, I've been to Twitter and see all the funny things that I like didn't notice, or like the quirks, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love all of this.
It's like
a gift and a curse, because it's like, I mean, I've only mostly seen the good side. I haven't had a lot of people, and I guess I'm not popular enough, and I'm happy to not have people in my mentions screaming at me about something that I said that I hate that I just said or whatever. But I've enjoyed it a lot. So I feel like maybe until I hit your level or something, if that ever happened, then I'd be like, okay, you know what? I can't. Like my brain capacity.
I'm an empath. I'm sensitive. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not every, mm-hmm. not everybody gonna go through this, but I definitely feel energy when it's like really turns on something. And if I'm a focal point in that, then it's like, oh man, wait, this is becoming negative as an experience, not just as a conversation today, but like, oh, this is just negative to be involved in. And so I'll excuse myself. So I don't think I would watch the prequels with everybody. I think I would just kind of like, you know, like if I live tweeted or something, that's it.
Yourself or something.
Yeah. And I think that's cool. Like, you know, people got to do what they got to do, man. Cause like I said, these arguments are getting out of control, man. It's crazy. So thank you. Oh, go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry.
There's two more things when I was talking about what I'm waiting for next week. I'm waiting for, Grey Worm to speak. If y'all realize, he didn't say a word this episode.
He did.
We didn't hear his voice. Girl. It was all
said, the only thing he said, I think he might have said, like, you want me to let this nigga in? And she was like, don't let him in.
I don't even know if he said that. Yeah. I think he just looked
at
her.
I heard him say nigga.
Yeah, he said nigga for sure. His face said nigga. His face said this nigga? Okay, what was the other thing?
And I'm looking for Bronn to kill Tyrion because he not gonna get that Highlander place, whatever. He ain't gonna be able to deliver that, so he did.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Jaime gone.
Just right. So all he needed was one brother.
Yo, Dany might kill Tyrion if she find out Jaime was in that city and shit. Like, if anybody seen Jaime, she gonna be like, now how the fuck? Shit, if she just go to the tent looking for Jaime, like, we had him captured. Let me go. Oh, how the hell he get out? You know what
no
I mean?
Matter who do it, Tyrion's not making it out.
I hope so.
He's not. They're not gonna Glenn him no more. There's no fucking way.
He on my list, dog. Alright, this is our longest recap in a long time. but it was very fun, man. Thank y'all for coming.
So much fun.
You know, I was a little nervous about it because I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Say it again, Portia. I'm sorry.
I was like, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, anytime, man. I was a little nervous.
What are you nervous about?
Cause you know, like, so far people have, like, come on the show and we have fun, we make jokes and shit. And normally it's cause we already, like, all enjoyed it or whatever. But you know, when you don't have consensus, it's like, oh man, I hope it doesn't get dragged into where it's like, nigga, you can't even make that joke because I'm mad. You know, like y'all was cool with it. Y'all was cool for it.
Right, was cool.
You can always, these jokes are always going to come off every time. Like, exactly. We're getting these jokes off.
That's all.
But, you know, we still going to have debate and discussion and discourse and all that stuff. Yeah. And, you know.
Nah, that's what I love about y'all's brand. I love that about 4-Hour Nerds because y'all are on the same vibe. And so, you know, we picked out a guest, you know, we only had 6 episodes. So when we picked out a guest, it was like, oh man, we're doing a home run right now. But after Sunday, people were so mad online. I was like, oh man, I hope we don't show up Wednesday and it's gonna be like, fuck this show.
Everybody
fuck you.
It.
Fuck the world. Fuck dragons, nigga. I don't like, it was cool that we was able to like do this. So thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
And we'll definitely have to have y'all back when we not talking about this shit just to kick
it.
So,
and, please, we know we love you. We had you guys on our show before and, can I plug real quick?
Absolutely.
Yes. Plug, baby.
I wanted to plug our recap show, of course, because I listen to Rod and Karen a lot anyway. I also want to, if you want some more of this discussion and some more just views from the diaspora, just come hit us at Castle Black. We're on every podcast platform, generally speaking. If you just search for All Nerds, you and subscribe there, you'll get Castle Black.
And they're so good, y'all. Like, if y'all listen to our nerd show behind the paywall and the Nerd Off, like, same type of shit, man. They talk about comic books, they talk about movie news, all that stuff. Jeff J, Ben Amin, Tatiana, and then, like I said, Castle Black, like, they bring on guests and stuff every week. And, it's just a dope show. So make sure you guys out there, supporting all the black podcasts. And Karen, I see you have your hand up like we're in class.
Yes. Portia, is anything you want to promote, baby?
Oh, I don't have anything. I'm right with Tatiana. She spoke all the words.
Okay.
There you go, guys. So, all right. We'll talk to y'all next time. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.